I'm going to tell you a few stories. All you have to do is listen.
Welcome to another movie podcast, the film review podcast that does away with that pesky silver screen in favor of the smaller one, and wonder where the golden age of television or this very episode would be if not for Netflix's budget. I'm Oscar. With me today is...
Ralph.
You forgot to grab me.
Sorry.
No. This is part two, I say. Part two of our top 10 TV, the best TV of the year. Best television shows of 2017. That's what I meant to say. That's the full title of it. So if you are with us, obviously you heard last week's part one where I gave my 20 through 11, my 11 through 20, I guess. And then my guest host, Marcos, who was here with us last year, he gave his top 10 TV shows. Obviously, I didn't want to make a five-hour episode, so that's why I split them.
Split
and make Splitterson.
Also, Oscar likes to cheat and just make a lot of lists.
I mentioned that twice in the show, that I was cheating, and I like that. I could do that.
Right, because you could be like, well, that's in my other top 10.
Right.
Right, because even though you're calling it through your 11 through 20 in this one, you're just
although
like,
I could have made a 30, because I've seen a lot of shows.
Yeah, okay. I haven't seen more than, not that many.
No, it's okay. A lot of people have. A lot of people around me haven't. Don't worry, I'm the freak. I understand.
Then again, I started a lot of things and then just never finished it.
Did you ever start like one episode things and never finish them?
I have some of those, but not as many.
Sucks.
Okay. I have a lot of four episode things and never finished them. And I'm just like, it's like, well, they're getting good. And you're just like, I'll watch it eventually.
They're good, but they're not as good as my already top 10 I made in my head or something.
Yeah, I guess. Well, one was a really good one that I don't know why I stopped watching it.
Okay. We'll get to that, I guess.
Yeah.
Cool.
Honorable mentions. We'll get to it.
Yeah, we'll get to it. This is episode number 41. I never said anyway. And today we're just going to be doing the top 10. That's it. It's pretty much of a long show already with that. And it'll just be Roth and myself. A feedback can be sent to, as always, to podmoviecast@gmail.com. And our website is more important than ever right now. And not only as I'm updating it for with the new content we're producing this month, which is like our heaviest, busiest season, but I'll just have everything, and it reiterates that we have a countdown page, we have the best of page from last year for the top 10, and from this year as the new ones come up, we have our old marathons up there where as we're gearing up for the new marathon. We have a bonus episode, of course. This month's bonus episode, if you donate to our show at any amount whatsoever, any amount, which is at otherpodcast.com, you will get a bonus episode review of Phantom Thread, which is Paul Thomas Anderson's latest film. And, I mean, it's not even out here yet, but we're really hoping it will be in theaters, even if it's select here, because we have pretty good theaters here.
Yeah.
So I should be out by then, by the end of the month, is my point. And that's when you get a free bonus episode of that. If not, it'll come out 5 months later. Today's 5 month later thing. Bonus episode is oh my god, did I just forget it? I did. No, Detroit. Yeah, Detroit.
Yeah.
So check that out. That's Catherine Bigelow's latest film, came out last summer. So we have tons of shit for you guys, for just a bunch of bros talking about movies, you know. But enough of movies, Ralph.
Literal bros, yeah. Huh?
Enough of movies, right? Like, fuck movies. Are we tired of movies?
I'm pretty sure we're not.
I'm not, no.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
No, not at all.
But I guess for this episode, we are.
Yes, for the purposes of this sentence.
Yes, for the purposes of this sentence.
Questions?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so let's get into our top 10 television programs of 2017. I think I'm gonna have you start off on this one.
Okay, so mine is a weird one, and I think no one would have ever guessed it. And I brought it up because of the sheer...
Can I guess? We never told each other the top 10, by the way.
No, we don't. We rarely do.
Yeah, we rarely do, yeah.
Okay.
That's why I forgot to ask you before the show started. How did you want to do this layout?
Take a wild guess.
Okay.
I'll give you one thing, though. It is a Netflix original.
Okay, but that narrows it down to half of the rest of the shows out there.
Sure, yeah.
Okay, good, because I was going to say Taboo, because they didn't say that one. Is it The Keepers?
You're right. It's The Ultimate Beastmaster.
Is it really?
Yes.
Oh, wow. And my second choice.
Yeah.
Forgot,
yeah, I figured you were going to guess that
show.
One.
Forgot that show existed.
Yeah, yeah. So, and I bring this up because I'm a big fan of Ninja Warrior. Mm-hmm. I love watching Ninja Warrior. Same thing. And I actually, what I liked about this one is this is, what's it called? I think it's produced by Stallone. But it's, what's it called?
Is that Sylvester Stallone?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The season started in sometime in 2017. I already forgot. They're like hour-long episodes, so they do a bunch of crazy, what's it called? Competitive reality TV stuff. Like they're going through a course and they're trying to do it. It's basically a little. It's kind of like Ninja Warrior, only I would say a little harder because there's they did it on purpose, like harder, and they pick these people who are like top of their athletes, two from different countries. From six different countries. So it's like the US, Brazil, South Korea, Mexico, Germany, and Japan. And they pick two people like from them to make it to here. Like they do competitions. And what I really enjoyed about it, it's really smart. They brought hosts for each of those countries to talk about their countries. So, and to like cheer them on. So what was really cool, like the
that's unexpectedly forward thinking of a network show.
Yeah, America had Terry Crews, and I forgot the other person. I'm just reading it off, remembering off the top of my head. Mexican cast had these two very famous newscasters. Japan had Japan people, Japanese people, and stuff like that. And it's really cool because you get a little snippet of all of them in the English version, but you can switch the audio to any of those other five languages.
Would you call this show a sports show?
I don't know, it's weird, I guess. Mm. They consider it a reality TV, but whatever.
Okay.
Game show, I guess. Almost like a game show.
A game show, right, maybe.
Yeah.
Hybrid.
So it was pretty cool that you get to see it. Like, what I really liked about the thing, though, is that how the course evolved over throughout the season and, like, who wins. And then they basically have they have all these people, and they have each winner goes then competes against each other. Once the winners make it to, then they have those 10 people compete against each other and see who wins again. And it's really interesting, and the course changes as it progresses, obviously. And it's basically you have to show yourself off, and you're learning on these course. It's really cool. That's how I saw it anyway. I enjoyed watching it. I kind of binged through most of it in like, I don't know, 4 days. So it was a really interesting watch to just kind of watch it at night, chilling, seeing these crazy things going on, keeping me up. So it was a really fun show.
Nice.
For me.
So I haven't seen it yet. Yeah. I want to see it. It has the gladiator feel to it.
It does have a gladiator feel to it.
From what I saw, like a little bit of. Is it this just the first season or is it second?
I think the second one's out already. If not, it's coming out already.
Okay. Yeah, I did see some promotion, so it might be out already. All right. So that's The Ultimate Beastmaster?
Yeah.
Or is it just Ultimate?
No, The Ultimate Beastmaster.
The Ultimate Beastmaster, which is on Netflix, season one.
One
the opening.
Possibly two, yeah.
Possibly two, right. All right, cool. That's your number 10. My number 10 is, let's see if you can guess. It's an FX show.
Fargo.
Yes, it is Fargo.
Fucking.
It's funny because I have like two other FX shows.
This is going to be great.
It's going to be, I think, two others. At least one other. Anyway, Fargo. It's so low. I know, guys. And it's the funny thing is that Fargo, which is Noah Hawley's rendition of the hit 1996 or something, 95, 94, Coen Brothers' film of the same name, where he took the idea, made season one, which was like a starlight season, so badass. I'm like, wow, I did not think they were going to do it this way. And then season two was also a knockout in a different way, but ultimately a little bit of a step down in my personal purview to season one. And then season three came along, and it combined the perfectly weird metaphysical, you know, philosophical angles to the Coen brothers and Noah Hawley's, you know, attention to detail and the stuff they like to show off, you know. And season three managed to put that, which was the main a big thing in season two, he put that in there along with actual, like, really good, like, better homages as opposed to ripoffs. You know, some stuff felt more ripoffy than others, as to the Coen Brothers stuff. Awesome acting and a very, very, like, a cleaner story that I was surprised to find out. And Iggy was one of the best villains of the year, too, with that dude from Harry Potter.
The Topol?
He's in Wonder Woman. He plays the bad guy in that one, you know. Professor Lupin, was his name? I always forget his name.
Bad one name, so you're asking the wrong guy?
Yeah. Anyway, I'm gonna find out here as I talk. But Fargo season 3, have you seen it?
No, I did not see it.
What is wrong with you? No, I'm kidding. So what it has for this season, it has Ewan McGregor playing twins, and
interesting.
They have, as you can imagine, awesome scenes together. One is like a douchebag, one is like a rich version of him. Kind of funny that way. And it has Mary Elizabeth Winstead this year. And it has I'm trying to remember the girl from The Leftovers, because I don't want to confuse them. Carrie Coon, who I'm sure you've seen in things. David Thewlis, that's his name. David Thewlis plays the main bad guy, the main bad guy mobster, but also like he's like a Russian. He feels like a sleeper agent mobster. He's a super weird guy who has like bulimia, and like he throws up a lot. He throws up all his food. Like, I don't know why. It's like a weird villain tick thing. And he throws up so much that his, you know, if you do that a lot, your mouth starts rotting because it's stomach acid.
Yeah, it's his stomach acid.
His mouth is fucked up, too, the whole time. It's like a fucking creepy-ass role he's playing.
Yeah, it's interesting.
And it's really cool. I think, and the thing is, I know Holly announced that he was going to stop making Fargo episodes until he can think of a good season to make again. So it might be out for a few years. And as far as if there is no more, I'm happy how it turned out.
Okay.
I'm happy a lot by how it turned out, by the end of it, and the open bookness of it. So yeah, season 3 of Fargo. Oh, Fargo, yeah, on FX. That's my number 10, which was higher. It was higher early in the year. It was like my number 2. And, you know, look how far it went. What's your number 9?
Mine is an Amazon Prime original.
Nice.
Sticking with the streaming services.
Is it Bosch?
It is Bosch.
Nice.
Season 3.
I mean, we're just guessing each other's shit.
I mean, well, I'm...
Remember when I guessed Ultimate Beastmaster?
I'm 1 for 1. You're 1 for 2.
No. Do you remember when I guessed Ultimate Beastmaster? I guessed that one. I guessed it right.
No. You were close. You almost got it. That was your second choice, remember?
Yeah.
Okay. This is still starring, what's called, Titus Williver. Titus Williver, sorry. Jamie Hector, Amy Aquino, sorry, I'm so bad. Lance Reddick, who has like that, I think that alien type of face. You know what I'm talking about. Okay, cool. It's kind of high on my list because I would say there's a lot of cool stuff that happens. There's a lot of characters, character building. What I really enjoy though is the beginning of the season for me for Bosch season 3, which was it's always the repercussions of what he's done that are still lingering from his last from what he's been doing in his past, because time has always moved forward, right? We're like a year in, or whatever time later, and he's still dealing with the things that he's solved in the last case. So it's almost like it's closure, he finished. No, the reality of it is that he's still going through legality stuff with it and having to deal with all these things. And it's really cool. It's kind of shitty that he has to go through it, right? Because we've seen the thing and we know
they were guilty.
What's fair and just. And then he's watching it through this and you're like, are you kidding me? What's going on? And you get his anger. You get his frustration. So you get to build on the characters along with him, and you kind of want him. You're like, he needs to be calm and collected, and you don't want him to be calm and collected either because you're angry for him as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an interesting dynamic that they build upon that with like having like I guess just more layers for him. I think it's pretty cool. But overall, it's like he still has this like vengeance of like his mother's death or murder.
Which was originally solved in season 2. You're talking about season 3 right now.
Yeah, we're talking about season 3.
But it was kind of solved in season 2 when he found out who killed her, and then it turned out not to be the case.
Yeah, exactly. Wait. So he's really adamant about figuring it out. And you have the fallout of like this, the chief of police of what happened with his son in the previous season as well, and stuff like that. So it's interesting. Like I said, they're doing character building. And you see a relationship kind of fall apart also with... J. Edgar, the character with his partner, who they kind of like don't trust each other. They come to like a certain point where they trust each other like very well. Like I'm talking about, like one could say something and the other guy could finish a sentence just as easily. But there's a very weird dynamic between them because they lose trust for each other, mm-hmm. and it's interesting because you don't know what to do. And there's a lot of cool stuff going on in this. And Harry Bosch, I think he has a more of a he's way more rogue, I would say, in this season. And I think it's just because he's gotten so close to this mother's what's it called, killer, and he really wants all this information. He needs to push for it because he feels like, I think he even feels that he might be getting like not kicked out of the force, but either forced retirement or something where he's not going to have the tools necessary for time, you know?
Yeah.
So it almost feels like he has to be forced to do these things. It's a really cool season nonetheless. There's like overlaying arcs, a bunch of cool stuff going on. I don't want to ruin anything for people who haven't seen it. But I like the first half of the season over the second half. That's for sure.
And teaching his kid how to drive.
Right, exactly. Yeah, little things, yeah.
And it's funny because when you watch the first episode of the first season, compared to like that episode when he's helping her how to drive, showing her how to drive, and how it's just polar opposite because he's an absentee father. And then
100%.
When you cut a few years, which is three seasons in the show's run, the mom, you know, she's comfortable. She stays with him instead of the mother.
Yeah.
And it's a good difference. Like, you see in this guy evolve without you even noticing it.
Really. Yeah, it is really cool.
It's cool.
Yeah.
That's just a cool thing. I love that song. I wish I had a place to fit it in. I just want to say it's my honorable mention for sure. Bosch on Amazon Prime. And my number 9 is it's a big one, Rob. This is the one where everyone's like, why is it so low, even though it's still top 10, bro? It's Stranger Things 2.
Oh, okay.
Which is on Netflix.
Yeah.
And I want to say that for a sophomore effort from showrunners, from first time showrunners, the Duffer brothers, you know, a lot of brothers going on in these days.
Right? There is, right?
Like extra amount. Like we've always had them. We have always had the Wachowskis, right? We've always had, that's all I got. No.
The Wachowski,
we had the Hughes brothers. We've always had Coen brothers. Yeah, but like, you know, lately I feel like they've doubled. And there's the Safdie brothers, you know, who did Good Time.
Oh, yeah.
Those are brothers too, you know. So like, there's a lot of them popping up. Anyway, these guys, the Duffer brothers showed off that they had a wonderful nostalgia. But like, the reason Stranger Things 1 works so goddamn well for everyone, including myself, which it made all of our top 10 that year.
I'm 95% sure.
Pretty sure it did, yeah. Like, really close to the top. The reason it did so well is because, I think I said at the time last year, if you want to go check out that show, is that it manages to mix nostalgia with originality. Like, it doesn't feel like it's knocking off anything, but it feels like it came from that year. From that decade.
Well, it has like that E.T. feeling. But,
right.
But E.T. came out of that time.
And even though you can see parallels to E.T., like in season one with the whole, you know, like a reversal of it.
Right.
Like they're not, it doesn't feel like it's ripping it off.
But it feels like it came out in that time, though.
Right.
That's why I said the E.T. feeling, because E.T. came out in the time it was shot. Right?
Yeah.
Right. So it feels like that because it was then. Right, so you can't, like, it's authentic in that way.
So,
And this one, I would say, yeah, I would agree with you.
So I want to say real quick that season two has the same exact power, in addition to, like, manage to continue a story without ever, like, betraying characters, without ever, like, I didn't think I saw a character misrepresented in a big way, any supporting or main. And I like how they did reversals, like, it's like they hired Paul Reiser in season two, right, to be a sneaky bad guy doctor scientist dude. And then I guess spoiler alert is it's not a spoiler, it's a top 10 TV, everyone's seen it, not that I'm going to ruin everything, he turns out to be a different person. He's not the guy from Aliens at all. Which is an 80s thing, and you think that's exactly what's going to happen. Why would you hire Paul Reiser for other reasons? And it subverted that. And then you have what's the wife's Winona Ryder's character's name? Nancy, I think. Is it Nancy? There's a Nancy in there. I just don't remember.
Nancy, I think, is a sister.
I haven't seen it since it came out, guys, so excuse me a little bit.
I'll get her. Don't worry about it.
Okay. Anyway, she... Joyce. Her boyfriend, who is Rudy.
Yeah.
Not only does it have probably one of my favorite death scenes of the all of the year, which is hard to say because there's a lot of good fucking death scenes in this in all these shows.
Yeah,
but that might be my favorite. Might be because it gave me such a reaction, even though I saw it coming, and it was so good.
Yeah,
and not just that, but just like the way he earned his place there by just being like nice.
Yeah,
that's another thing. He wasn't badass. His badass was being nice.
His badass was being nice. Exactly.
He was so nice. Yeah. He was a badass. Yeah. Like, he was such a good guy that he was a badass.
Yeah.
This show is so good. And they managed to write, I know a lot of people hate that episode, the standalone L episode. I love it. I love it to death. I don't understand why people say that. A lot of people are like, we just put that off for next season. I'm like, no. They're setting up again, man. It's good.
Sure.
And we need her POV. She's been out of the loop because they need to do something because she's the Superman of this world. Like, she's too powerful. They need to separate her sometimes.
Right.
So I hope they continue that in a good way. So Stranger Things 2. That's my number 9. I'm sure it'll come up in yours.
Sure, of course it'll come up in
mine. What is your number 8, sir?
My number 8 is a TV miniseries, so it kind of considered a TV show.
It is.
All right, perfect. It is an HBO one, and I talked to death about it when it came out, trying to convince a friend of ours, or not a friend of ours, our other co-host to watch it, but I don't think he ever did get to watch it. And it's the Defiant Ones.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So I'll really quickly read the description, and I only read it because it does a good one. The Defiant Ones examines a partnership between Jimmy Iovine and Dr. Dre, one of the son of a Brooklyn longshoreman, the other straight out of Compton, I get it, and their leading roles in a chain of transformative events in contemporary culture. It's a really cool, bio-documentary TV show that feels like a movie because each episode is like an hour and a half or something crazy. So what's really cool is that you get these their growing ups. Dr. Dre, you kind of know more already about because, you know, Straight Outta Compton already came out, so you get a lot of that already. There's more in depth, and you get more in depth, should I say, and you get more of his mindset, which is really cool because he doesn't like doing interviews, he doesn't like talking to people, and it's interesting. So you get him to, and you get him, like, he doesn't look at the camera because he's talking to you, right? But he's like, he'll look at the camera to certain aspects, right? But he doesn't look at the camera because he's trying to, like, remember things. And he's trying to remember his feelings. And you can tell he's being genuine about his feelings when he's telling you things that are happening. And it's really, really well done.
Oh, he has a really good acting coach.
And Jimmy Iovine, who I've heard the name before, and he's a background guy, music producer. His coming up is really interesting, too.
Super interesting.
I mean, it's a really cool story on his part.
Nick, what's her name?
One of the pop stars or something?
Yeah, the early one. Sorry, Nick, I'm just...
He gets to start from, like... It's a guy who's super smart but doesn't like school, right? And like we all know these type of people, right? He gets into a job where he doing janitorial work at a music as a recording studio or whatever. What's it called? And then gets asked to like
Stevie Nicks.
Yeah, gets asked to come in one day, and all of a sudden he's having a jam session with or he's having a recording with what's his name, with John Lennon. Like, what the fuck? Like, it's just like crazy shit.
Yeah,
like
just
that.
Like that. Yeah.
And it's all because it was on Easter, and he came in on Easter, like, you know, a day that normally nobody comes into work, but it's the music industry, and he wanted to do something for himself. And it's interesting, like, the choices, and it's obviously here the big thing is the choices that people make, and what they do with these said choices, and how they decide to run their lives. And it ends up going with this big merger. I'm not really spoiling anything because it's just life for this is true out there.
Spoiler for life. We forgot to put this on top of the show, but we're going to spoil some stuff about the shows we're talking about in order to talk about them fully in a way that's expressed. This is why we love it. But we're not exactly
some shows,
to spoil it.
Some shows I can't go without spoilers.
I'm just letting you know now. I forgot to put it at the top.
It ends with this big merger with Apple. They sell Beats. They make Beats. They sell Beats to Apple, and now they work for Apple, right?
And there are two Beats in this household.
Yeah, exactly. And they work for Apple. And the reason Apple Music Unlimited or Apple Unlimited or whatever it's called for music service, Apple Music exists is because of these guys. Like, they made that streaming service what it is now. Like, they made the Beats thing before. They had the Beats Music. I used to have the app also to download things. And how it was curated, how was this? All this interesting. That's how Apple Music, like, that's like they use all that same software and all their knowledge and all their partnerships. Yeah, it's just Apple with a bajillion dollars can go to any part, any you know, artist and be like, you're getting paid what by Spotify? We'll double it, you know, or whatever. Yeah. And you get to come to us or whatever, exclusiveness and stuff. And it's a really smart business because you can tell that these guys, obviously Dr. Dre made this, what's it called, went through a lot of hard times of failing. And then, you know, ending work, failing but succeeding at the same time. It's really weird. Yeah. He's a very success story in, from Compton, right?
Yeah.
And in his, what's it called, in the African-American culture. Yeah. But at the same time, he's failed a lot. He's had a lot of issues, a lot of other things. And on top of that, you get to see him and he succeeds to be the first billionaire rapper. Like, what the fuck? Like, he doesn't even rap anymore. Like, what is going on? This is bonkers.
Now we're waiting for Trillionaire, right?
Now we're waiting for Trillionaire, correct. Okay. So it was a really cool documentary TV series. I really enjoy the frack out of it because I saw the first one and I was like, man, if I didn't have to go to work, this, like, I would just binge watch the rest. But I would come back, I would come home and be like, I gotta watch the other one and I'll watch it, go to sleep afterwards, you know? It was just really well done.
Yeah, I agree. And if you want to hear my take on it, it was my number 15, so it's on last week's show or the part one of the show.
Oh, so it was your number 5 on the other list. Okay.
Yes. Interesting. Number 15.
Sure. Uh-huh.
Number 15.
Right.
Doing two top 10s.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's, I know.
Top 20. That's your number 8. My number 8 is a show from Stars, but you know what it is.
Yeah, I think I know what it is.
I mean, guess it.
American Gods?
Bicycles? Yeah, American Gods, yeah. It is American Gods, which is on Stars.
For some reason, I think of American Gods and I think of Gods of Egypt.
Right. Well, lots of reasons why it's here. This is a show created by Brian Fuller, the guy who brought us Hannibal, which I fell in love with, and I never stopped talking about it when it came out.
Nope, you didn't.
But everyone should be watching Hannibal, and if after you watch it again, because that's how much you should see it. He also did Pushing Daisies, Wonder Falls, like that's some of his earlier stuff that he did. Dead Like Me, Ralph, which is something you and I kind of grew up with, you and I and Luke.
Yeah.
Right? So that's the man who did that. He has a wonderful sensibility of darkness, and Hannibal really doubled that. American Gods doubles that. This show is crazy good. It's the show's premise is, I might have to actually read this thing. Shadow, that's the name, an inmate to be released as informed, has been informed that his wife has been in an accident and was killed. Also learned that she was involved in an affair with his best friend. On his way home, he gets offered by a stranger. He gets offered a job by a stranger on the plane. And this stranger's name is Wednesday.
Oh, cocksucker, sorry. Uh-huh.
Yeah, cocksucker. Ian McShane, that's a Deadwood reference, folks. American Gods is a story about the...
what we consider...
It's not what we consider. What would happen if we could materialize the things we worship, whether it is religion-based, which is what the old gods kind of are,
yeah,
and comparison to... what is the really true thing we kind of worship, which is like television?
There's a big
technology.
Thing.
Technology.
There's a big, and then there's a, that was a big problem with the show because a lot of people weren't getting that.
No, I got it immediately.
Yeah, 100%. I was like, of course, that makes sense.
Right.
I got it. But a lot of people were watching, you're like, oh, I don't get it. That's not a god. Like, okay, you're just not understanding. Like, right. You're not understanding things. Right. And I really love the show for that reason also.
Yeah, and it goes all out.
Oh, yeah.
Like the show, it looks like $1 million. I love the opening. It might be
fucking phenomenal.
Number one or two, my favorite opening, because I just love watching all of our, I say our because we're in America, all of our deities, all of our, what our shrine looks like is the opening of that show with the muscle cars and the helmets of the military and the spaceship. And the cross Jesus thing and the cowboys and all these things we mythologize within our own selves and how it creates, in this case, in the show, in the world of the show, it creates literal gods that are different from the original gods that come from, if they come from different countries. Like a lot of the openings for the first season here is how a god from Africa came over on a slave ship, you know, to the Americas. In the early 1400s or whatever,
sure,
1500s, and then you get like how the god of fucking thunder came over here from the Norwegian Vikings. you know, they landed here a long time ago, fought off some Indians, they sacrificed someone, and there you go. That god is officially now also planted his flag on this soil. Like, the idea of gods changing to localization. This is just a small fragment of the actual show. There's an actual point to it, and you don't know what's going on until it happens.
The beginnings of the show.
It has to do with the warring, with the new gods to the old, essentially. And like I said, the new gods are like the technology, that little fucking kid, I want to slap him in the face. And like a government is a god in this one, like power, you know, violence is a god that you find in one of the later on episodes.
Yeah.
And did you finish the show?
No, I did not. Oh. It's one of the shows I didn't finish.
That sucks, man. Well, how far did you get?
5 episodes.
Okay. Did you want to finish?
I did. So it was one of those shows, right?
Dude, it ends in a way where you really want season two right away. Because it ends like him convincing a big old god to see if she will join him. And basically she says yes and actually tips the numbers in his favor into this war that's going to happen.
Yeah, well, and it's such what a happened, cool, I think I was switching TV providers at that time.
Yeah.
And I had it on my old one, and then I went to the new one, and I was like, oh, I can watch it whenever. And I just never got to that whenever, because whenever is whenever. Yeah. And other things pop up.
I hear you. And Gillian Anderson is in this show. I mean, a lot of people are in this new machine, like I said. Yeah. Gillian Anderson plays television. She plays TV God.
Yeah, I remember.
And she's so good. The way they make her look like Marilyn Monroe
and then
like Lucille Ball, the episode before, whatever.
Yeah.
It's so fucking good.
What do you think of the main character?
A lot of people hate him. I understand, because he's playing at a lower level than Ian McFucking Shane.
Yeah, Ian McShane is like knocking out of the also, ball. He's hitting home runs all the time.
Man. Yeah, he's like Daniel Day-Lewis of television, though.
Yeah,
he's like, you're gonna fucking compete with that guy. Yeah. But on top of that, I think Shadow is supposed to play a man who, like, what one thing that I didn't like, I guess, as a quibble is more than a quibble, it's an actual flaw, I guess, is that they don't do a good job of convincing me that Shadow is this stupid not to realize what's going on. Because he's asking too many. He's like he's not sure of himself. When I would be fucking sure of what's going on around me. Are you saying that? So the guy makes him think of a snow, and it starts snowing, and there's a blizzard outside, and you don't think it's related to what she told you to do? You fucking what?
Yeah.
And that's just one small thing. Like, I wish they did a better job of convincing us about that. But he does get convinced by the end of the season.
So sure.
It's all good there. But his acting is it's not bad. I think I like it. I think it's supposed to represent a certain style of the man.
Yeah, I honestly feel that. I mean, I think it's well done to pick somebody who's lesser known.
Ballsy for sure.
Because everybody else is big. It was big in the TV world or just in movies in general.
Yeah, they got that guy who that plays a Russian in Armageddon.
Exactly. That's who I was going to bring up.
It's a lot.
There's a lot of really. The casting is phenomenal. There's just a lot of really great stuff going on.
It's a great fucking show.
I'm glad I made your list.
And it's also like it also pushes the boundaries of what we can show on television, even rated R television. It's graphic everything.
Yeah, it really is.
It really is. Yeah. Like, blood in the buckets. Kind of like Hannibal, but more also. And the way they treat sexuality is also extremely as open-minded as you should be about how you see religion and culture and gods. So it's fucking... It's pushing the envelope, I think. And it's the only show that's doing that out of my list, I think, that's pushing it this much. So I'm really glad. I hope everyone watches this on Starz, which is unfortunate because no one has it. But American Gods, check it out if you can. That's my number 8. Raf, your number 7.
My number 7 is going back to streaming services. It's a Netflix original. It came out in the very beginning of the year.
Okay, let me see if I can guess. Is it Netflix? You said?
Yeah.
Is it the Santa Clarita Diet?
No, I never saw that.
Good.
It is by Barry Sonnenfeld.
Oh, I never saw it.
And... three others, apparently.
I think I know this.
It is a series of unfortunate events.
Oh, I did see this one.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I was a little bit older for the books when they came out, but nonetheless, I read them.
I read like the first three or four.
No, I read like the first 10. So and there's so many more, if I'm correct. But I really, really enjoyed these books, and I thought it was just a really fun thing to read. How it was written. And I think the show does a really good job of putting you like the narrator, who's narrated by Patrick Warburton, who is Putty right?
Yeah.
He plays that Lemony Snicket, who is the author of the book. Mm-hmm. And he's the narrator of the show because he's narrating the thing for you. And he's narrating the book to you. He's reading it to you like if you're reading a book that he wrote, but he narrated it at the same time.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. And it's starring with Neil Patrick Harris, who plays Count Olaf, which is a really interesting role for Neil Patrick Harris because he gets to play multiple people. What's it called? Because Count Olaf has multiple personalities, but he's a theater person.
Theater savant.
Yeah, theater savant, but at the same time, he gets to play different roles because he fits the roles for what he wants to do in the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like it. I think it fits very true to the books, like very, like almost word for word. The casting's done great. Obviously, the kids are, Melina Wiseman, Louis Hines. The little girl, I can't find her, but she's a baby, so it doesn't really matter. It's kind of hard.
She can bite anything, though.
And I do like it. It's a lot of cool stuff going on. And it was a really fun show to watch. It was darker because it is a kind of a darker story. It's obvious with Netflix's gajillion dollars that I just made up. what's it called? They can do whatever they want, and it looks freaking awesome.
I agree.
Yeah.
It's my honorable mentions.
It's your honorable mentions?
From my top 20 because there's so many good shows, but yeah, I like it a lot too.
Yeah, it was a really well made show. It leaves you hanging for what you like, because they did the first three books, I think. And it leaves you hanging for what's going to happen next. But
add in some extra stuff about the parents that
they do exactly
you know,
yeah.
later on in the book.
Right.
You know sooner.
And what I do like about is that how Lemony Snicket, the character of what's called, how he's explaining to you, like every time there's like a moment of hope, he's like, "Remember, it's a series of unfortunate events. Like I brought it up to you in the beginning.
Right.
The tale of bad right. things happening. Right. It's really cool. I just had a lot of fun with it. I ended up watching a lot of it twice because I showed it to my wife, and ended up watching it with her.
Nice.
So it's a really cool show.
I'm glad you liked it as much as I did. As you did. I mean, there was some point I was gonna say about it, and I lost it. It's okay. So that's Lemony Snicket, and that's your number 7. My number 7 is another fucking Netflix show, but it came out closer to the fall. It's about murdering. What do you think? What do you think it is? There's a lot of murdering now. So
yeah, I know the one about serial killers.
Yeah,
Mindhunter.
Yeah, it is.
Fuck it, I'm good, man.
Well, I mean, it's also. I mean, I kind of gave you. If I didn't say killers, you wouldn't know if I fucking got it.
I would have taken 6 guesses.
Yeah. So Mindhunter is a 13-episode first-run series. Let me see. Let me read the description. Why is that one so long and this one so short? Okay. In the late 1970s, two FBI agents expand criminal science by delving into the psychology of murder and getting uneasily close to all-too-real monsters. I hate how people use all-too-real hyphenated into a sentence because it feels like an incorrect sentence. It feels like you're saying it too all too real, you know.
Sure.
I never like that, the way people say that. Anyway, this is a show. I believe John Douglas and other people are the head writers of, and David Fincher directed like half the episodes, which I didn't at first. I was like, David Fincher, like, okay, maybe he's doing a House of Cards thing, you just do the first two and that's it. No, he did quite a few. I think he did the last one, the first one, and he did a bunch of the middle ones. So this show, it stars a bunch of people that I don't really know. Holt McCallany, I do know, who plays one of the partners, and a Tor from Fringe is in this. Which, by the way, if you hear last week's part one, it was Marcos's number something also. And I was trying to figure out Anna Torv's name, and I kept confusing it with two other actresses. And so it was a bit. It basically became a bit that I wish I could say it was on purpose, but it wasn't. So this show is... Have you seen it yet?
No.
Are you saving yourself, or like, are you not going to watch it? It's not for you?
It is for me. I like stuff like that, but...
I mean, it's David Fincher. It feels like 7, like glossy 7.
I don't know. I just...
I hear you. The idea
like
of...
The good and bad thing of Netflix. Everything's there, so you're just like, well, it's there. It's all there. Like, I can watch it, whatever.
Yeah. So the wonderful thing about the show is that it's which is a period show, is that it tells you the journey of what we kind of know now, like the idea of profiling, the idea of where to begin when you're trying to analyze criminal and wanton behavior, right? And it goes into the full psychology of this. Like, they will gladly take a few extra minutes to have a discussion, like these characters have a discussion over it, or make a fight out of it, or have like the main character's psychologist girlfriend who's in college, you know, get lead by her example of the way she treats him, or the way she tests him, pushes him. Like, the show does not shy away from being quote unquote boring in order to explain itself, or in order to explain how to begin to fucking find these guys that are like fucking serial killers. And this is the whole idea of this, is that this is before the idea of serial killers is a thing. They call them sequence killers right now, like in episode 8 or something. Okay. That's when they first think of that name. Obviously, they're going to change it at some point. But the idea of like, right, they have to start somewhere. Where do you start? How is it the idea? Like, it's like I'm glad I'm not living in the 70s, essentially, because no one would know how to catch these guys unless they got lucky. Right? Because no one's thinking about them in any way, in any capacity like this, like the behavioral science division in the FBI now.
Right.
So I love that for its posterity. And also, they interview killers. Every episode, they interview serial killers. And the actors that they get, and some of them are semi-popular. Some of them I've heard of through the grapevine. Others are just really popular. Others are unknown, or they're like anagrams of the real person. Like, there's a real killer that did this, but they kind of, you know, made up a fictional one. All of these killers all acted super fucking well. They're all like, it's like guest starring in a show, but guest starring is a killer who's on chains and in a prison.
That's pretty cool.
It's so cool. And they'll have their own spin to why they kill, or why they give a shit, why they deem to give a shit to tell these people anything, or how they deem to make them fake it out. Oh, it's just a big head of game, a head of fuck Mindhunter. That's what it is. And throughout the first season, we're also getting a lot of like these cold opens of a serial killer already out and killing and not caught, and we know he's going to be probably a big foil in season 2, because we kind of leave that.
So this is like based on events for reals.
I think some of it is for reals based on events, and
this is what I'm confused about the show, because I don't know if it's like
no, it's based on like these characters are like these characters probably did exist. But how it happened is probably not the same at all. It's just like a dramatization of those events.
Okay.
So it's like...
But it is like how technically we ended up finding out
right.
how
it's like, it's like are. It's more like about like the creation of the behavioral science division.
Interesting. Okay. All right. See, that's what I was really confused about the show.
It's like how we start profiling.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's
but,
cool.
And it's showing us characters that probably didn't exist, but, you know, that's how they start. Or maybe they did. I don't know. It's too fascinating to care, honestly.
Yeah, okay.
So that's my number 7. What is your number 6 before I break here?
Yes, my number 6 is another Netflix original, but it's an animated show. Can you take that guess?
It's another what?
It's a Netflix original animated show.
Animated. Okay, is it Castlevania?
It is Castlevania.
Shit, look at that.
Yeah.
I'm nailing it too, Rob.
Uh-huh, finally. A vampire hunter fights to save a besieged city from an army of otherworldly creatures controlled by Dracula.
You mean Dracula.
Exactly. So this is based on the video game, Castlevania, which has story, but not really.
I saw this, by the way, recently, too.
Did you like it?
I did really like it. I wanted more.
That's exactly
the only reason it's not in my top 10 is because I got too little of it. Like, it felt not enough.
Yeah, so that's... Yeah. Yeah, I had a weird, interesting... I put it in the middle because it's not... It's... I wanted more. I'm the same boat as you. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it was just like... I guess it was good enough, though. It was
as
really
soon as
good.
They were sacrificing her, I'm like, oh, it's gonna be good.
Yeah, I mean, they do not shy away from this.
No, they don't.
They don't shy away from anything. It's an anime show, and it's fucking well done, man. And they give Castlevania like more of a story besides just the text that we get from the video games that we've played or some small stuff,
which I've never really played, by the way.
Yeah, I have. There's so many Castlevania games, and they do have some of them. Most of them have continuity to it. And it is with Dracula and everything, and how this family, the Belmonts, the Belmont family, who hunts the whoever actual vampire hunters.
An interesting way to show up, like to, it's like you put your hero at the last episode, the first season. It's such a strange way.
Yeah,
to
it is really interesting.
So cool.
But I really dug it, man. It was super violent. It was a short, very short series that I really hope continues, and I'm pretty sure it will be continuing. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. They have nothing but good press on this episode.
Yeah,
on
this show.
I think they'll continue.
It was like 5 episodes, right? 5 or 6 episodes?
Yeah.
It's really short.
And like 20 minutes.
But it was something that I was really like not looking forward to watching. And I watched it because of Castlevania, because of what it is for gaming. And I was like, okay, let's see how it translates, right? But it was really, really well done. And yeah. I watched it with a friend of the show, Matt, and we both were like, whoa, this fucking show just goes in it.
Yeah.
Like, let's do it. Let's fucking do it right away. And it was really cool to watch it. And then how it ends, you're just like, what the fuck? I want more. Yeah. I want more. And it was just like this really cool first season teaser to whatever second season could be.
Basically, it's like a prologue. Like
it almost is like prologue. It is like a giant prologue.
Because you could have spent a first season from one of the plot points that leads to the ending of this season, like with the girl nursing and bringing humans, like the idea of what she learned with Dracula before she died in the first opening. But guys, it's not like a spoiler.
Yeah, but what I really like is that they're bringing the cast. I think it's basically Castlevania 3, and they're bringing the cast of the characters you get to play in the Castlevania game.
I assume they would, but so, I guess I would never play the game, so I wouldn't get those references. I just hope they're good, well written. That's all I can
say. And it was
good. Wow. Yeah, so far. Yeah. That's Castlevania season 1 on Netflix. That's your number 6, right? My number 6 is, I mean, I'm going to tell you the network. You're going to be like, okay, it's only this show. USA.
USA?
Yeah.
I don't even know what's on USA anymore.
Well, besides Suits and shit?
I mean, I know. Is Suits still on there? I don't think so.
Well, you tell me. You're the Suits guy.
That was a while ago.
Yeah, I know, but I'll never let you.
Although, that girl from Suits now is about to be married to Prince Harry.
Oh, is that her?
That's her, yeah.
Oh, I wonder she looked a little familiar.
Yeah.
Talk about the role of a lifetime.
I honestly don't know what's in USA anymore.
So Mr. Robot.
Mr. Robot.
Senor Roboto, if you will.
Yeah, don't worry.
Let me read the description. A really quick one here. This show follows Elliot, a young programmer working as a cybersecurity engineer by day and a vigilante hacker by night. That's a strange gimmick. This show starts Rami Malek, Christian Slater, Portia Doubleday. Love that name, Jesus. Carly Chaykin, Martin Wallstrom, and then others as we go along. BD Wong is in it at some point. This is written and directed, I mean, not every episode, but a lot of them are. Is the show created by Sam Esmail, sorry, who I never really knew nothing about until the show. And dude, this show is not only it's so good. Okay, so this is season 3 I'm talking about. And I want to say season 1 had an interesting style to it. It felt like almost like a narcissistic, like a black viewpoint of how the world is by making it entertaining. And the idea of this guy who is a genius level hacker.
Yeah.
As you can imagine, very antisocial, needs drugs to cope, things like that. But also a genius-level hacker. And, you know, we get a lot of the intro there, and the idea is that these guys are creating a hacker group. They create this hacker group called Mr. Robot, or his name is Mr. Robot. The group is F Society. And they create this group in season 1 where they're going to hack the biggest financial corporation in the world called E-Corp. They call it Evil Corp. And they do other things, too. There's a corporation that does everything, essentially, but they mainly deal in finance. You know, they have banking and shit, you know, stuff like that. And they take it down at the end of the first season. That's the idea, that phase 1 is taking that shit down. What's it going to do to the economy?
I remember I saw the first season.
Season 2. Oh, you did see it. Okay. Season 2 is a strange season because it goes into the idea of, not the idea, it fully fucking explores every notion of unreliable narrator. And it goes into a lot more in the history because the end of season 1 is kind of a twist turn that becomes a truth from then on. And that truth is played with in season 2 in a way that I felt like it made season 2 a step down from season 1 because of what it showed, promise-wise. And I'm obviously doing a lot of things, not just spoiler things here. But it was a step down. As metaphysical as it got, and it got weird here, I did like it still. Not to say I will stop watching the show, but I was worried about it, right? And then season 3 came along. And I don't know what they hired, what they got, or what kind of budget they got. I don't know what they were doing. But they managed to make it one of the best seasons ever. And not just not Mr. Robot, but like ever. They have an entire episode in the middle there where they do like a heist-esque one-shot take of an entire episode. And it's fake. It's fake. Obviously, they don't actually do that in real life, but it made it to look that way.
Sure.
And it's such a fucking heart racing motherfucking thing as you can imagine. And the way they keep it up and the way the stakes are at the time of this particular thing where this lady is trying to hack, you're breaking into a building filled with all these people that are breaking into it and breaking out of it, trying to hack this place. Because if she doesn't get to it, phase two doesn't happen, which is the destruction of this corporation once and for all. And, like, it's such a fucking awesome experience. And the lead up to that point is amazing. And the aftermath of that, because you would think that a lot of the attack, of the main terrorism attack that happens in season three is, the reason why you would think that it would be the ending of that. It's not. It's like the middle of it. And it shows you a lot of the aftermath. And where are these people going to go from here?
Very interesting.
And where, what can they do to fix their mistakes? And out of it, and they tie in a very great personal character development plot with the main plot. It's not one or the other. One becomes the other. And it's such a good idea. And the acting is fucking over the top amazing. And this Christian Slater and Rami Malek, which, you know, are the same person by now. Dude, they have some fucking fun with it.
They have
there's this whole scene where he's like, they're fighting against each other what to do. So, like, he will purposely, like, he's trying to get into the building, and then Christian Slater keeps taking him away. He'll, like, wake up in a cab, like, fuck, I was how long was I asleep? 10 minutes. He's like, I gotta go back up on the building again. He's finding himself back up and back down, back up, trying to, like, one is trying to stop him.
Wow, that's crazy.
It's amazing. Yeah. Just funny things like that. Well, and some of them are like Fight Club-esque second splitters, and it's really fun. It's just a great show.
It does have that feeling, that Fight Club feeling, though, sometimes.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. And they step it up on season three. So that's my number six, Mr. Robot. And, man, I can't recommend that show enough. So that's our top, our bottom 10.
Sure.
Right? Yeah. Bottom five, sorry.
Bottom five.
Yeah, our 10 through 6, let's just say that. That's our 10 through 6. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, though, we'll finish up, and we'll also finish up telling you, you know, honorable mentions and how the year felt overall in a better way, and see where we go from there, guys. Stay with us. We are back. Raph, why don't you give us your number,
by the way,
five.
Best break ever. Anyways.
Very much so.
Yeah. My number five is an animated show that has a lot of episodes in.
I believe they're in the 800s?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yes. Eight somethings.
800, folks. Eight.
Stolen eight drug. We're
sets of hundreds.
I think we're halfway through.
No, we're past halfway.
No, I think we're just past halfway. I think the Dressrosa arc was just past halfway. Regardless, I'm talking about One Piece.
I thought 3D2Y was supposed to be past halfway or at the halfway point.
That would have been like 300 already.
No, that was not.
Oh, no, that was like 500.
That was like 500, 600, son.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So mine is, my show's One Piece. It is on its like 13th season or something.
Yeah. These guys know how to make a season.
This guy works 6 days a week, guys. Oda works 6 days a week. Phenomenal guy. He does the manga and he does the show. He used to do 7 days a week, but he had to stop because he wanted to spend time with his family. And he apologized to his fans for having to work one less day a week.
Yeah, those Japanese business etiquettes, man, they don't fuck around.
For sure. Not at all. And this is a story about a kid who is now at into adulthood. He went from like early teens, now he's definitely in his late teens.
I never saw it that way.
Yeah, they always do this. You gotta remember though, they're like, he was like 16 or something when he first started his arc, you know, and then now he's like almost 20 at max, you know, or yeah, 21
but
or something.
In pirate terms, that's like 40 though.
No, for sure, right, exactly. So, and he's trying to become the king of the pirates by finding what this one ex-king, if you want to look at it that way, used to travel the whole world and shit and had all the booty in multiple ways.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So, yeah. And it's this arc, what I really like about this arc that's we're going on is that he's finally going on and we're finally seeing things that we want to see where he goes against an emperor. He goes into an emperor's territory. There's three emperors in this world.
Four.
four, my apologies, Your Honor. Four members of his world, and he goes into this territory, and he's finally, well, yeah, yeah. And he's,
what's it called? Too much for me, but yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. And he goes in there, and he's trying to save his, one of his allies, one of his comrades, one of his friends, right? Who is the cook, Sanji. And which I'm not spoiling it because it just happens. And because he's being forced to be wed, it's some crazy. And then you find out this is a crazy story, backstory of Sanji that we never knew. Mm. And it's really interesting. It's a really cool arc for Sanji because it's a lot of growth from him that you kind of been needing instead of just like.
Yeah, he was becoming like just in the background a lot.
Yeah, he was. So and you realize like a lot of things from him and why he's actually very strong because he's just a normal human. If you look at it, and then you find out a lot about his past. It's a really cool arc, especially where it's still ongoing. So they do really weird seasons. So it's like a bit between seasons. But it's a really cool arc to find out a lot more about Sanji. And obviously you still see Luffy's determination. The only thing I don't like right now is that they're splitting these times. And I know the show is obviously following Luffy, but we kind of nuance like the whole crew. And I got a feeling we're going to just like ignore a lot of stuff that happened with the other crew until they meet up with them, and then we get like maybe a couple episodes about that.
So right now they're split, you said?
Yeah, they're split.
Like equal parts?
Somewhat.
Okay. Yeah, I'm always so I'm still in Dressrosa, which is the last year. The last arc?
Almost like last year, beginning of last year.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I know I'm almost done with it.
Right.
And that's why I stopped watching it. Because the thing is that you can burn yourself out. I love the show to death.
You can burn yourself out on it. I watch this show every 3 months.
So I tried that. And the thing is that, but I'm so like already burnt out and overladen, whatever, with other content. Just a fucking lot of content.
Yeah, I watch this at night. But I know you watch everything at night.
So I watch everything else at night. Right. Yeah. And I really want to keep. Also, it's not a great thing to drive because it's all Japanese. I have to read subtitles, so I can't watch it while I'm driving.
No, you cannot.
I should open with saying, by you know, I watch a lot of things while I'm driving. I can be watching comedians and cars getting coffee while driving,
which is funny because I was like, oh, they had it on Netflix. I was like, I've seen all this since it's old.
And the thing is, I hadn't seen any of that. So I've seen it's all new to me.
Yeah, for me, it's all old.
It's super easy to watch, and I wish
super easy to watch.
I mean, kind
of
wish.
Well, it's one of those shows that you don't have to watch it.
That's exactly why I put it on. I'm not gonna put something.
It's a podcast and video.
I'm not gonna put something like super serious on the car. I put like shows or like anime that are English subbed.
Sure,
if they're good enough.
Yeah.
So yeah,
dubbed. Yeah.
The English dub. Sorry. So yeah. Anyway, so my point is that I really want to catch up. That's one of my goals this year is to catch up to One Piece.
Understood.
Yes. So that's a cool number five, though.
That's a good goal because you're like 200. You're like 100 plus episodes behind, probably.
I know. That it's just 20 minutes, really. Not even 15 because all the fat that's around it.
Sure. Yeah. So they did a really good job now where all the fat's in the beginning. The end, there's nothing in
there. Right, there's no fat at the end at all. Yeah,
that happened like 200.
You just skip the first 3-4 minutes.
That happened in the Dressrosa arc, I think, in the beginning of it.
Yes, I remember. I'm at that point now where I'm going, nice.
Where are you? Do you remember the last thing that happened?
Luffy is a really fine Doflamingo, for sure.
Okay. He's right. Fighting you're good then.
Yeah.
You're good. Because it gets interesting after
but
that.
But it just started there because
it gets interesting, then it
I
doesn't.
Think, what's his name? The other guy who's fighting him was fighting him and he lost.
It gets. After this arc, it gets really interesting. It gets a little bit boring because it's filler, sort of. And then it gets really interesting. And then you think it's about to get boring, but in reality, it's all really good.
Okay. I mean,
there's like one or two episodes that aren't the greatest, but
they always have fillers between them.
Let's be realistic.
Like, they always have like two or three filler
episodes. Yes and no. What they like to do is they overplay something instead of adding filler because the guy doesn't like adding filler to the show.
I know. That's one of my favorite things about it,
too. Yeah, but one of the big issues was that in the Dressrosa arc was that they were catching up to the manga, which was like bonkers. And they're like, whoa, we're in the same arc as the anime.
Yeah.
Like, what is going on?
Yeah.
Right? And then they finished it in the manga, obviously, and we're still in the anime. And then that's when they started like, okay, we need to make these episodes like a little longer, like just add more something.
Right. Add more heart.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. That's a lot about One Piece. One Piece, your number five.
Yes.
Very solid choice. My number five, I'm not going to spend quite that much time on it, but it's a very, very, very good show. It is The Deuce, which you can
find. I never got to watch it, but go ahead, please.
Which you can find on HBO Go now, HBO regular. Let me read a description here. A look at life in New York City during the 1970s and 80s when porn and prostitution were rampant in Manhattan. The Deuce refers to a strip of land, a strip of like this one like block, or this like one block little radius, you know, these two streets or whatever, this one street, you know, whatever, where it was quote unquote okay for prostitution to be, you know, to be legal there. And meaning that the cops would look the other way as long as the nicer areas around it wasn't being, you know, all these people in corners and shit.
Okay, yeah.
So that's like the essence of it. And this show stars a lot of people. Uh-huh. So many good fucking people. Benga Akingabe. Sorry,
he plays you one made of the up pimps. That name. There's no way.
I mean,
there's no way you
it's G B E N G A. So I'm just doing something.
Okay, James, you're not doing justice to the name then.
I'm doing something.
Yeah.
This is also stars James Franco. He plays twin brothers, which you think would get old, but it really doesn't. This really? Might be the year of Franco for me, because of this and the Disaster Artist. Yeah, he does a really good job. He you don't want to say he's a hero because this is an ensemble cast. Everyone gets equal shares. It also has Maggie Gyllenhaal, which some people would say she's the main hero.
She's the main. She's like the face of the show, right?
Yeah, because she's the bigger actress.
Tell me why I thought it was a different actress, and I can't think of her name. But she always plays like this distraught person.
Ooh, I mean,
yeah, I know.
That's very vague, man.
I know. I'm super vague. I'm sorry.
It has. So this guy, fucking Christ, the people who created the show are George Pelicanos and David Simon, the two people that created The Wire.
Uh-huh.
Of course.
Why am I just finding out about that?
I don't know how you. This is the reason I saw The Fucking Deuce, man, and it did not disappoint. It's so fucking good. So it feels like this first season, it feels like a gigantic fucking masterpiece paintbrush to show you this world in every sense of every kind of facet, from the pimps to the cops, the beat cops that are there, some little bit of the sergeants, to the corruption, how influential the mob really was back then, like the power they used to have and possess and wield from buying land and in turn like having certain laws in effect when they wanted them to in order to make money for the people that they wanted to make money for. The creation of nudie boots is created in this first season, and the idea of that coming forth. All these people are in every situation, from how these prostitutes work, how they're brought up and they're treated or mistreated. It's all like heavily researched. Like their writing crew has like, you know, from black female writers and journalists to like people who were around back then. This apparently, from what I could tell, and it looks like it, they spent so much effort to make it look exactly like it used to look like back in the 70s. And it's amazing how they pulled it off. It looked completely fucking dirty. It looks like Taxi Driver. It looks like Robert De Niro's in the background in a taxi. You know, crying about how dirty New York is.
Really?
It looks just fucking like
that's
it.
So good.
It's so
I'm glad.
Good.
You know why? Because yeah. I saw the and I was kind of peaked, right? Like, okay.
Yeah, no.
And then I was just like, yeah.
It sneaks up on you too, because the whole thing is like one giant story, right? There's no like, not every episode ends with a huge cliffhanger. Every episode ends at a point where like, okay, now it's time for the next one. It's not like everything is a cliffhanger for them. They treat it like one gigantic thing going on. And you see, like, one of the finale episodes, they go to the premiere of Deep Throat, which is the first popular porn-esque film, right? Deep Throat was very famous. And you can see the wheels turning of how porn's going to start, especially for a second season. So I'm really excited. I hope David Simon keeps the show going. I'm sure they will, because his popularity with HBO and The Wire and all that. So
right.
I think
that guy can just go to HBO and be like, so I want to make a show. And they're like, yes, here's this blank check.
You can make shows about like pixie dust.
Right, exactly.
Whatever you
here's this blank check.
Right, blank check. So that's The Deuce.
I want to make a show about the movie The Blank Check. We're taking that check back.
Oh my God. I will take that check back.
Hold on, give me 1 second. Yeah. My son just decided to walk up with my bus by us.
Yes, he is.
Hello?
He's just like, yeah, I don't care if you're recording anything. But anyway, my sign out here. Yeah. Steal your friend's HBO and watch it.
Yeah.
The Deuce.
That's what you should do.
Five. Your number four, Ralph.
My number four is a Netflix original series.
Yeah, I know. Fucking Netflix.
Of the original series.
Are you like biding time?
Stranger Things season 2.
Stranger Things 2?
Yeah. The Stranger Thingy. So, this show, I still think it knocks it out of the park. With its still grasping the 80s vibe and feel of like nostalgia and stuff like that.
We're yelling at Leo for messing around with us.
And what I really like, I actually like that they're setting up. This is a setup season. It feels like a setup season. At the same time, wrapping up season, we get to focus on the character that we didn't get to focus on because he was gone. Mm-hmm. He pulled the hangover, if you want to call it that.
Yeah.
What's it called? He's gone.
About Will.
Yeah, we're talking about Will, exactly. And we learn a lot more about 13s, yeah. And we find out that she's obviously alive and shit like that. Spoiler. But that... So I want to put this a little higher in my list. Like, I really did. I want to number two, maybe-ish.
Me too. I was like, when I first saw the season, so the problem, I thought it was going to be my number one or two.
So did I. I really wanted to put it higher. Well, the big problem I had with the show, though, is actually those episodes, I think it was like two episodes, right? Or episode and a half, where she's not in town.
It was just one episode.
I liked for what it was.
Yeah.
But I didn't like the next episode, how she just magically makes it back in time. Like, you were so far away. And, like, she makes it back in time to be the heroine. And it just didn't feel right. And, like, some stuff didn't feel right. And that's still a big issue. I think the Duffer Brothers still did a great job. Don't get me wrong. But what's it called? I actually like the character building also, how what's the kid's name?
Elle?
The leader? No, the leader kid.
Oh, fuck. Someone's yelling at us because
I know.
This is a very popular show.
I'm thinking Finn, but it's not Finn. For sure it's not Finn because I'm thinking Star Wars.
Right now. I know you are.
You pull that up. But anyways, how he's like being mopey because he's
Mike.
So he's being mopey because
because
of the fact that 13's not there anymore.
And the new
because
girl.
He obviously likes her. Yeah. He obviously liked her and he never showed anything before. And it was a really cool end of season thing also that happened. So yeah, it's a really cool show overall. But like I said,
the dance ending.
That's just one part really took me out of it. Mm-hmm. I did like the dancing scene, but that one part really took me out of the show, and I just couldn't. I don't know. I wanted to put it higher. There's other cool stuff which we're gonna talk about. I'm pretty sure we're gonna have some overlapping stuff in a bit.
Well, I mean, it already made my list.
Sure.
So it was my number. I think number nine.
Nine or eight or something.
So like that. I want to say real quick. I know. I think I mentioned it back then. Sorry, it has really been a break.
Yeah.
So I don't remember exactly what I said.
Yeah, like I made money because I went to work. Yeah.
Yeah, we all like had a few shifts.
Sure, exactly.
In between here, in this break. One thing I did want to say is that. It didn't feel like so much setup, but one thing I want to say about Will Byers is that, so when the first season came out and these kids were heralded for a great acting ensemble and they all won awards together, I'm like, well, we didn't see much of Will. Can Will act as well as these kids?
He did.
He proved it in this fucking season. He killed it. Yeah. I really can't wait for Will to not be indestructo or victimized so much. I want to see him like... be a part of the cog, not a reason a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm hoping he can just shine.
Yeah, I don't want to mention anything more because I think you talked a lot about stuff. I really love a lot of the other stuff that happens. The killing them with nice of that hero character.
They have an episode called Dig Dug, for fuck's sake.
It's awesome.
Such a cool show.
Well, I love the introduction of the arcade, too. It's such a great show.
Yeah, so good. Yeah. And again, that creepy guy who works.
Right, exactly.
All right, so that's your number, was it number four?
Four.
My number four is a really fucked up show, guys. It's an FX show called Legion, which I don't think you've seen yet, even though I recommend
it. Never finished it.
Okay. Oh, okay. Let me read the description here. David Haller, I think, is a patient in a mental hospital. He has been there for several years now, and life is pretty much uneventful. Then one day, a new patient, beautiful Sid, arrives, and he is immediately smitten by her. Little does he realize how his life is about to be turned upside down, and him discover special powers that he never knew he had.
This show is bonkers. I saw the first episode. It's bonkers.
Just that?
Yeah, that's all I saw.
Oh, man. I'm surprised it didn't intrigue you in any...
No, it did. It intrigued me a lot.
I'm surprised. That almost made me binge it. I didn't end up binging it because I was watching it as it was airing. So it was like episode two. It was next week, you know. So this show stars Dan Stevens as the main character. Richard Keller, Amber Midthunder, Aubrey Plaza is wonderful in this fucking show. Gene Smart is in this. Jeremy Harris. A lot of people are in this cool show. Katie Asselton. She was kind of big in the earlier days. Anyway, Noah Hawley is the creator of the show, which is the reason I really saw it, which is the creator of Fargo. And that's the reason I saw it, because I love Fargo so much. It was my number 10. So I have two Noah Hawley shows on here.
Damn.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
And she got no Grammys or Emmys.
Or I don't think so. Probably not. And Legion is wonderful because it is a surprisingly the least superhero show ever made. It doesn't feel superhero-y, but what you are seeing is the conceptual creation of what could be a supervillain or a superhero in every sense of the word Marvel, because these are Marvel characters they're based on. And apparently the Heller guy, Dan,
he plays Xavier, the main guy?
Well, I don't know. They don't go with his parents yet. You know, this whole thing is about the psychosis. Something is leeching off him. The first season is the arc of him discovering, A, he has powers.
Yeah.
B, how he can possibly use them, and C, the full realization that he is too powerful to not be able to control this thing, or too powerful to let others control it for him, which has this parasite about him. He has a mental parasite that is not the hugest spoiler. It's kind of, you can tell by the visual art of the show, which is astonishing. Super astonishing. Like, they don't tell you anything straight out. You figure it out as you're watching. Yeah. And it's super creepy. It can get fucking dark and scary. It legit, like, keeps things in your mind that are, like, yellow eyes and the kid with the thing. And this show just does it wonderful. And the arc is about this guy finding out for himself what he is and what he's capable of. And it is a scary thing. And I can't wait to see how season two will begin, because it has a big, you know, has a nice, like, threads that are left behind that we'll see them
finish. That's another show where I started watching it and I was like, oh, I'll watch it in a bit. And then I changed service providers and then I lost the my DVR.
That's another thing. This show begs for your attention, too. You can't, like, just...
Yeah, I found that out first episode, and I was like, oof, this is going to be good. Like, but...
You don't want to miss it. Yeah, exactly. You want to drink it up.
Right,
drink
exactly.
So that's my number four, I believe. Yes, the number four. What is your number three?
My number three... Okay, from here on out, it's three, two, and one are all season... I think, actually, my top five are all recurring shows that I've been watching.
My top three are recurring shows.
So
Legion's my last first season.
Okay, so my top five are all recurring shows. My number three is GOT.
Game of Thrones.
Yeah, because it got me good. If you haven't seen Game of Thrones, I'm sorry, but a dragon dies and then comes back to life.
All I see.
Yeah, so like, how do you not? I mean, it's just, it's visually stunning. Visually stunning. You think you know where it's gonna go, and then it doesn't go that way. The show keeps doing that to you, and it's well done. Yeah. I'm still surprised by the show, and some stuff that still does happen, you kind of do see coming, but at the same time, it's still a lot of stuff still plays out, and it works really, really well.
I agree.
I mean, the acting is still top notch. Like, I don't know, what do you want me to say more about Game of Thrones if you're not watching Game of Thrones? Like, dude, there's dragons in this fucking thing, and dragons look amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. Not only that, but there's tits everywhere. Like, come on.
Oh, not as there much
used
as other
to, there used to be penises everywhere too, but not anymore. But like,
yeah,
not as much as other seasons. I 100% agree with you. But like, there's good fight scenes, and there's good character development, and there's good, like, there's just a lot of everything. Everything's really good here.
That reminds me of something I forgot to say about the dude. So I
mean, this kind of union thing going on is bonkers. Like, that was just a really good season in comparison. Since I know we're, what's it called? In between books. So this is all new stuff for everybody.
It's all new stuff.
So I don't know. I think it did a really good job.
I did give my dissenting opinions on why it didn't succeed to make my top five or whatever. For me, it was my number 11.
Okay.
Not to say that it isn't bad. It's pretty fucking good. It's still Game of Thrones. But I talk about it in the part one of the show, and I don't want to reiterate everything, but I did have a big problem with the whole getting a walker to prove Cersei thing. It's a big fucking problem for me. Huge problem.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous, and I hate it. And I love everything about going there, me talking to those people. I love all that, but like the Magnificent Seven, Westerosi style, great stuff. But like the reason, but I love the ending. I love the dragon. Of course, I love all that shit. So I'm with you and the awesomeness of it. And that's Game of Thrones, your number three. My number three is a comedy science show. Do you know which one it is?
Comedy science show?
I'm throwing you off a little bit, but it is comedy and it is scientific in nature.
Planet Earth 2.
Is that a show? I didn't know it was a show called that.
Isn't there a show called Planet Earth?
I know there's a movie, a documentary movie, isn't it? I thought it was a show.
Documentary miniseries, isn't it?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
I thought it was a movie.
Okay.
It's Rick and Morty.
Oh, it's Rick and Morty. Okay,
And where's the comedy in Earth 2?
I don't know. I was just making a joke.
Okay. Yeah. Rick and Morty, this is the only cartoon I have here, the only one that is Adult Swim.
It's like I'll never be that he. I'll never be here again. Probably like no cartoon will ever come back. Dan Harmon and Justin Roiland created this show. Dan Harmon, that are Community fame and yeah. Monster House, as you like to say, an anime series that follows the exploits of super scientist and his not so bright grandson. And season three, I'm talking about obviously specifically where we get to see a lot of threads that pull from Dan Harmon's specifically sense of, not just sense of writing because that's how he is, but sense like what he is as a person he puts into as dilemmas for the characters in it, specifically with Jerry and with Rick. I think Jerry and Rick are the closest persons like in their flaws to Dan Harmon. And the reason I know this and the reason I sense all this is because I also listen to his show, which, you know, he kind of tells a lot about himself on there.
Sure.
Like, literally, he's really open. And he's too open for the fact that he's some of the one-liners in Rick and Morty, especially season three, come from his show or the other way around because they're his life. And it's really makes it another level of interesting on top of being a really funny, super, like, flipped-out show about amazing, like, just so many great things. And the show does enjoy a lot of jumping around genres or ideas of scientific conceptual art, like the whole thing with when they're going through hyperspace and they take out the diffuser, whatever, and Jerry, the weird bad guy of the week, and Rick, they all morph into like a kaleidoscopic, like soul connecting thing. And it was just a wonderfully realized. I love that whole thing. The Whirly Dirly Conspiracy, it was called. The Morty's Mind Blowers was amazing too, for all the reasons that, like, all the memories that Rick chose to take out versus all the one that Morty wants to take out, like petty versus tragic. And then there's the Beth had a lot going on this season, unlike most seasons. I'm still not a big fan of Jerry coming back the way he did, because Jerry is an unforgivable asshole douchebag that should just die out there in a corner somewhere. That's how I feel about him. I've always felt that way. I never liked him.
He's supposed to hate him.
You're supposed to like really make fun of him.
Sure.
But the show keeps bringing him back, and they had the whole thing in the end, which I didn't like so much. But Rick points that out, I guess, and he's like, ugh. I guess.
Yeah.
And the whole thing with the president was funny.
That was really funny.
Really funny. I agree. And it goes highbrow and lowbrow. Like, lowbrow is like a lot of fart jokes, a lot of blood.
Yeah.
Like, just a lot of juvenile humor. But it can go highbrow, too, with that episode with the Citadel of Rick's. Oh, my God. That was like a Wire episode.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
It was... Yeah.
I'm surprised it was only 20 minutes.
Yeah.
I don't know how you fit all that shit in there.
I 100%
I keep watching it. I'm like, it's so streamlined perfectly.
Yeah.
Everything I need to know.
I mean, yeah.
And you got it all. And it ends with like a creepy James Bond Morty. Oh, so perfect.
Yeah.
I love this.
I mean, I don't know where, yeah. I 100% agree with you.
That's my number three, Rick and Morty season three.
So this is where we're going to start overlapping. Like,
oh, shit. Nice.
Because my number two is Paw Patrol. So I'm just messing with you.
What is that show?
Paw Patrol? So it's a kid's show.
Wow.
My kid only wears everything Paw Patrol's. Like,
I never heard of those two
sweaters that from the different dogs. It's ridiculous. Like,
okay,
but his favorite is Chase, because whose is it? Anyways,
right.
It's Rick and Morty. Like,
your number two is Rick and Morty.
That episode alone makes like the season. Like that episode alone, the one we were just talking about, makes the season. This alone, it is. I've seen that episode 5 times last year. Like, I mean. I could not watch that episode.
Yeah.
I was just perfect. What I really like about the episode too is that, and it's something that I think they speak to, and how for them it's everything is important but insignificant at the same time.
Right.
It is. And I think this season is a light. But I think this season is very specific on that with Pickle Rick, with Szechuan sauce, with all of that. And I try to avoid the hype so much because...
Yeah, and the pop culture immediacy of this show is crazy. As soon as Pickle Rick episode came out, Pickle Rick shirts everywhere.
Exactly. Oh, it's immediacy. Insane. I 100% agree with you. But at the same time, it's great how important it is, but unimportant it can be as well.
Yeah.
And it's... I don't know. I think the show is just great. It's... I don't know anything of this. What's it called? The connections that he has from his family life and everything. Like you do.
Like at the end of Pickle Rick with the psychiatrist, he's been seeing a psychiatrist for the last 3 years or so, maybe more. And he always talks about her and what she says in relation to what he's acting, how he's acting, why he's acting. And that's exactly what he put that in there for.
Yeah. Right. I really enjoyed it. I mean, it was such a great show, such a great season.
And there are even levels of good vocal acting with who is the guy from Serenity and Firefly, the main guy? I forget his name.
Nathan Fillion?
Nathan Fillion. He plays the bug that's interviewing Rick, right, in that mind thing.
Yeah.
And then when Rick takes over his body, his voice is still Nathan Fillion, but he's playing Rick. So the difference in vocal acting that he switches to be Rick is amazing right there. That transition that Nathan Fillion pulled off in a really
The level of attention to detail in this show is out there, because they get into, you can tell they get into the probably the minutia of the minutia, because it has to be as sci-fi as possible, but at the same time, what is it? And we just choose to, and they pick. They choose and pick.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you can tell there's obviously a lot of like very smart choices made. Yeah. Or else it just wouldn't succeed as
much. That ode to Star Wars, where they have that whole opening when they have the Rick and relaxation scene, and that whole opening when they basically have a Star Wars adventure.
Yeah, I also love that episode where
they all cry in the car.
Where they get into that that whole, what's it called? That machine
The toxic machine?
The toxic machine.
The same episode, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Morty's an ass.
That was an interesting idea. The whole he becomes like a Wolf of Wall Street kind of guy.
Yeah.
That one, I didn't think the idea fleshed out very well, but it was such a cool idea. I agree. Yeah. So Rick and Morty, number two. Nice. See, we didn't talk about this in advance, guys, so we're just really discovering our own list here.
Cuff.
My number two and one are definitely not on your list, because I know you haven't seen them. So at least it will be original there.
My number one for sure is not on your list.
Oh, okay. Cool. It's some sports thing, probably. I'm just kidding. Oh man. Okay, my number two is a show that ended its series, and it was my number one for the longest time, until obviously my number one came on. So it's The Leftovers, season 3.
Oh, I finally finished.
Oh, finished. I finished early in the year, like around spring to summer area.
Did they come back?
The Leftovers?
Yeah.
No, the ones that were left over. Well, in a way. I mean, the last episode
has
a very interesting story.
They really didn't leave.
So, no. It's not against it. Oh, it's in your hearts. No. It's not.
No. I wasn't going to say that either. They just turned invisible and no one realized.
I really wish to find the only person I know who was into the show as much as I was Jason from the SOS show. He hated the third season because he feels like he has to be told all the answers. And the whole show from the beginning of the first episode told you is not going to give you that answer. It's not going to tell you why these people disappeared.
Yeah.
The whole point is
why
to
Luke doesn't
see
like
how
either.
The world will react to that. That's the whole point. How the world changes from something crazy like that.
Sure.
That's the point of the show.
I got that point.
Right.
I saw the first season.
It even tells you in songs, point blank songs that tell you that let the mystery be. That's the whole opening of season 2 songs.
Yeah.
And Jay's, you know, he got really butthurt about it. I want to make him, I'm forcing him to re-watch the show and do a podcast with me on this.
Oh, wow.
So we can review. Anyway, that's not the point.
Yeah.
But I need more people to talk to me about the show, because it's just wonderfully amazing.
Yeah, well, sit down with me.
What?
Be a brother and sit down with me and watch the show.
I'll watch it with you. I have the first 2 seasons on Blu-ray, so we'll watch it.
You're about to say DVD.
I almost said DVD.
Ancient man.
Shut up. I know, after we watch my True Detective. I watch my True Detective every year.
Yeah, we gotta make a VHS copy.
Yeah, well, maybe I will. Fuck you. I used to have a... Shut up. Anyway, Leftovers, so much to talk about, and yet I don't want to spoil anything, and yet there's so, like, not enough time. So I will say that...
So I have a question. I know a little bit about season 2, because what you told me last time.
Season 2 is still probably the standout season, though.
Where are we with our main characters in season 3? Where do we start off?
In a place that you are satisfied.
Really?
How can you not be? I was completely satisfied.
Okay.
And there's a huge time jump.
Oh, is there?
It's so worth, like, 25 years.
Oh, wow. That's too gigantic.
Yeah. Australia becomes a big deal in season 3.
Were you trying to do an Australian accent there?
No. I was kind of like coughing, and hiccuping.
Hiccuping? Okay.
Burping something.
I was stopping something. Big deal, like, or whatever.
No, I'm not doing a voice. But, there's a whole bit with Australia, and obviously there's a lot of like, connections to, you know, old shows, to old religions that don't exist anymore, the 70s hippie commune-esque aesthetic of life, how just people react. It feels like it's such an original way of how humanity would react in such a large scale that I can't even begin to talk about it. You have to watch the episode, and then we can talk about it. That's the only way I can really dissect this show with you. But... so I can only touch generalization. So, but the acting is the best part about this fucking series. The acting with the writing, some of the Carrie Coon and the main guy who plays Justin Theroux, who I never really knew him that well. And Christopher Eccleston, my favorite, he's the old Doctor Who guy. He very fucking good. And this show, you know, came from Damon Lindelof, you know, a guy who is kind of like the king of disappointing fans and disappointing me too with Prometheus in a way. But I learned to love that show retroactively. And Lost, which I still don't like.
You never finished it.
But the whole point is that what he learned from those things is that he should know how everything's going to pan out before he starts fucking a show. You know, before he starts a show. So I think he always knew how this was always going to be. And every season feels like an ending, too. He never thought he would be renewed until he was.
Oh, so that's interesting.
Season 2 has an ending that feels final.
Yeah.
And season 1, even. And then season 3 is the real finale because he said that I'm not making any more. But season 3 was the only three seasons that he had in mind for.
Also, with a huge time skip, what do you do?
Yeah, no, it's so good. I'm not going to spoil it, but it's so good. Yeah, it's so good. Anyway, I know I'm not talking much about it, but just watch it.
No, you're trying to not talk about it because
it's magnetic. It's fucking gravitas galore. It's super serious, but also very funny. They make fun of Justin Theroux's cock so much in such a fucking subtle way. That because there was a big leak about Justin Theroux's like big penis as an actor, and they make fun of him. He has like there's a dream world thing going on in the show, and he has to ID scan himself and a retina. He has to put his cock on the thing to ID him to go in the door, like in his dream, he's a big cock that he's unidentifiable.
That's interesting.
It's just so funny. So the show is not just super serious all the time, but it is like 90%. So that's The Leftovers on HBO. Another HBO show here. My number two, Raf, your number one, final one. Right? You're on your number one.
Yeah, I'm on my number one. I was just looking at you to see what you would do.
Well, you saw it. I give you a look.
Right. My number one is the season 2. Like I said, we're going with the continuing.
Okay.
And I will read you the quick synopsis, and then I'll tell you what the show is called. It's an anime.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And it's in a world populated with superhumans. The superhero, what's it called? The superhero loving Midoriya is without power. And he is what they call quirkless, which I've talked about this.
I saw an episode or two with you, but I don't remember the name of it.
And who he hopes to be as part of this. My number one. This season 2. Is phenomenal, Oscar. So season 1, we end off where he gets to high school. He gets these abilities, right? What's it called? And My Hero Academia, by the way, so is a show. And he gets to high school, right? And the prestigious high school in Japan to begin, because of course it's an anime. And he's learning his abilities, and you know, shit happens. Okay, cool. Season 2 is like, all right, you need to up the ante because you're gonna be into the real world soon. And you need to start learning your shit. But not only that, but we get the main villains who are these up-and-coming new guys who are going to become the new heroes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now these up-and-coming villains who are replacing the old villains now. And it's still including the old villains with them. And what's really cool about the show is that it feels like a comic book. It feels like it's all comic book stuff. Not graphic novel, because almost everything comes from a graphic novel, right? Anime-wise.
That's true.
There's a difference. In a comic book, like you have the Superman comic books, like it's tropey and how we have a hero and then an anti-hero and villain and something.
Yeah, exactly.
Feels just like this, okay? Which is really cool in anime, a Japanese anime. And what I really enjoy is that the villains, they end up they find a reason and they find something. How do they get other people to join their villain society or whatever, right? I forget what they call it. And it's really, really interesting how they play at how it's like, what is it? What do they have to do to like not recruit people, but like just get them to be on their side? Because there are people who just want to kill people. But what is it that drives them? And they come with an answer to that. And it's like the heroes made them that, because they lose to the heroes. And then because of that loss, they get the answer that they want. And then they become even more powerful. It's like they're feeding off of each other. And it's so cool. Hmm. Oh, my God. It's such a cool season. And they all grow. He has obviously like learning more control of his power. Because there's a guy who you're supposed to be born with your abilities. And, you know, as you grow into it, you know it, right? It's like your own body.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, but imagine if you were a baby
and now you're an adult, and you don't know how to use half of your stuff. You're still acting like a baby. You're gonna do baby like things, right? Same thing with this kid. This kid just got his powers, right? He's supposed to have when he was born. He just got them like a year ago, like, and now he's got to deal with it. And he's just progressing, obviously, a lot better, especially with the power that he's got. One of the top heroes in this world.
All right, it's now on my list to watch.
So like, it's a really good season. There's a lot of action.
Right.
There's a lot of character building too, and you're seeing teams being formed, sort of in your mind here, right? Mm-hmm. And also for real because it's right in front of you.
Yeah.
And it's really cool. They introduced a lot of really cool aspects. That it's a setup, because I think every second season is a really big setup for things, but they do a really good job setting up.
Okay.
And it's I'm looking forward to the third season for sure.
All right.
On Crunchyroll.
Crunchyroll, right.
Crunchyroll.
Crunchyroll
is the number one, the biggest.
It's like anime Netflix.
It's anime Netflix. Yeah.
It's only anime, too. That's some drama.
They do Korean drama,
too. Yeah. I've seen that, sorry.
And they have mangas if you have, like.
Oh, really?
If you want to read stuff, yeah.
Man, I swear.
Well, I mean, they're on it. They're on
I
the
have
ball.
Your account on me, and every time I look at think about opening it, I'm like, I just think about all those titles I want to see.
Right,
and I'm just not going to catch up on.
That's the problem.
Right.
It's like Netflix.
My Hero Academia. Yeah. It is like Netflix. Yeah, My Hero Academia. I have been hearing great things. Brian from my work been talking about it. And I really want to see it now since it's your number one. So I'll definitely put it on my list for sure. That is my next anime to watch.
I introduced it.
Because I'm watching the Fate series.
I introduced.
Right now, so.
Yeah, I know you are, which is, I'm kind of jealous because I want to start that too, but whatever. Continue it. I saw one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I introduced the show. I showed two episodes to one of my friends. He's like, the next day he went home, he's like, I'm wrapping up this other anime. I have four episodes left. He's like, I'm power throwing them so I can start watching this one, because it's like, he has like a rule for himself for animes.
Yeah, I bet.
Because you almost need to with so many out there.
Yeah, you have to. Yeah.
And he's like, a week later, he's like, I'm on episode three now. I'm watching. And he's like, it's fucking good. And I was like, I know it's good.
Cool. So that's My Hero Academia, your number one show of the year. Your top two are cartoons, Ralph.
I'm a kid.
Makes sense. I mean, you have a toddler. Right? Your father would talk. So, I mean, you watch cartoons all over the goddamn time.
Sure. Let's go with that.
All the goddamn time.
Let's go with that.
All right. So, my number one is a super serious, but yet not at all serious at all. It's Twin Peaks The Revival, or The Return. Sorry.
Did not see this one coming.
You didn't see this one coming? What did you think
it
would be?
I actually was wearing my Twin Peaks shirt on purpose today because I knew Twin Peaks was on your top five. I used it for work.
Oh, I was going to say, that's not a Twin Peaks shirt.
And I changed shirts.
Okay.
Yeah.
Twin Peaks, man. Okay, so Twin Peaks The Return picks up 25 years after the inhabitants of a quaint northwestern town are stunned when their homecoming queen is murdered. Wow, that's like season one shit. So this is technically season three after the film, that film that came out in the 90s after the first, the second season.
Fire
aired.
Walk With Me?
Right. And real quick, for those old Twin Peaks fans who maybe are hesitant or haven't seen it or been thinking about watching it, not only do I highly recommend it, but I would suggest to rewatch Fire Walk With Me, the film, because a lot of most of its history takes place from the movie.
Do you remember the film?
I saw the entire series
because
the movie last year before watching The Return, Ralph.
I mean, it's...
I basically Twin Peaks gorged myself with...
All right, because I remember we watched the movie together.
Yeah, so in our old show, for all those listening right now, obviously if you're listening, we did... Our first marathon was the Twin Peaks series. All of us had never seen it.
It was a great great marathon to do.
A great marathon. It just took long, forever.
Yeah, it just took forever. But yeah, it was a great marathon, though.
But it was a great marathon. We ended it with the movie.
I was really happy that I saw it.
Yes.
And we did end it with the movie, and we were like, what the fuck?
Right, because it's a prequel. Baby. It's the week leading to the events of season one. Right.
The most bonkers thing I've ever
seen. So the stuff that happens there is more important to the return.
I'm glad that it's all tied together, though.
Like with the David Bowie character, for example, things like that. And so many things are going on for the show. First of all, Kyle MacLachlan plays three different... iterations of Special Agent Dale Cooper to a perfect fucking like T that you can tell immediately whether he's wearing the same thing or not, who he's playing at the moment. He does such a good job. He is mainly on screen in this season, which, by the way, does not have an ending to it in a way that like you want. It ends with there's going to be something more. I hope there is more.
Okay.
I don't know if you'll actually get the green light, but it ends in a cliffhanger. So
it's showtime. And they gave him carte blanche, right?
They had to. Apparently, he almost... They gave him carte blanche at first, and they took that away when they wanted him to restrict some stuff. And he said, like, okay, I'm not doing any of it now. And they're like, okay, fine, we'll give you the carte blanche. And he came back again. And he's been wanting to do this series for a long time.
Yeah,
I'm actually reading the book that Mark Frost, the co-creator of this, him and David Lynch created the show, Mark Frost wrote a book about what happened in between the years. And I'm reading it now. It's written as an FBI report dossier. Oh. About
so
every,
smart.
It's so good.
So smart.
It's so, I'm halfway through it already. It's so good.
Yeah.
So they tell you a lot of the events that happened before between them. Because a lot of the stuff isn't explained in the Twin Peaks Return because it's literally 25 years after.
Yeah.
And the great thing, and I don't know if you remember this from the show, that thing that in the dream in the Black Lodge that Laura Palmer tells.
I do. Uh-huh.
Remember, he's like, something about 25 years from now, you're going to happen. Is it almost exactly 25 years later? It's actually 26 later. 26.
That's so, 27 marks the 26th year. Bonkers.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah, awesome. So, and obviously they were filming it. A lot of the actors you're seeing on there have died since then, and they shot their things way before because we've been trying to shoot this for a while. Like the log lady had died like at least a year before the release of the show, or at least a
really
month, at least months, let's say.
Yeah.
And but they recorded a lot of stuff with her, and they managed
that's
to put her
so
in.
That's so good.
It's so good. And the tribute to her is amazing. Her last line is fucking perfect.
Lynch is on it.
David Lynch is on his shit, and he is he has directed every episode.
Well, I have
him
Showtime.
And Mark Frost
I have
wrote
Showtime
every
now,
episode.
So
only those three. Only those two fuckers did everything, and it looks like Hollywood got together and is like, please David Lynch, put me on your show, anything, I'll be an extra. And there are literally people that's like fucking Michael Cera's in one scene,
just like that.
Just an example, Ashley Judd is in this fucking show. Naomi Watts plays a very pivotal part.
Really,
there's a lot of fucking good actors in the show, not to mention the old cast.
And the old cast was good.
And they get better. Like, Bobby Briggs is a good actor in this movie. In the show.
In the show.
Fuck.
Yeah. Okay. You've made that mistake, like, I think, on 4 out of your top 10.
And my last week on the part 1, I made that mistake 30 times.
Yeah.
It's on top of all that, it's David Lynch. It's Lynchian. It's, you know, it's metaphorical. It tells you the times. It describes the fears, the creation of fear.
Is David Lynch in it?
Like... Yeah, he plays Gordon Cole.
I know he does.
He's in it a lot.
A lot?
Yeah, he's in it a lot.
Oh,
he's
wow.
There's episodes where just follow him around for a bit.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he has a...
Is he still screaming?
He's... No, he perfected that. He had a better device for it.
Okay.
That's
funny.
And there's a lot of great additions to a lot of great stuff in this show. And, like, the way they brought back David Bowie's FBI character, because he died, unfortunately, before they could shoot his stuff, is... perfectly amazing. I don't even know. Episode 8 is the craziest episode because it's the one that feels most experimental. But it describes to you basically, by not telling you directly, Rob, because no one's speaking directly to you. No one's explaining this is this because of that.
Yeah.
It tells you in a craziest flashback or series of flashbacks or flash forwards, don't know 100%. And this one episode tells you basically the origin of evil and the Black Lodge. It's amazing. And I think that's what it feels like. There's a lot of interpretations out there.
Sure.
That's just mine. But there's a genuinely super scary parts. Black suit people in jail. That's all I can say. A blind Asian lady with weird fucking chirping noises. Man, this guy's crazy.
I gotta watch this.
He's good.
All right.
I'll watch it.
I'll
watch that with you, too. Let's just watch it. I'll watch it again. I'll watch it in a heartbeat.
Let's do it.
Thank you for getting Showtime, by the way.
Showtime anytime.
Right, and this is another one you want to pay attention to, too.
Okay. Like, I would probably assume so.
Stare at that shit.
So which one should I watch first? Leftovers or Twin Peaks?
Twin Peaks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's 18 episodes, though. It ain't no short.
Yeah. It's 18 40-minute episodes?
40 to 50. Yeah.
40 to 50. Ooh.
Yeah.
My heart.
And there's like a lot of things that people couldn't explain, but I found perfect explanations for. I hope you do too. I hope you find it easy to see.
Mm-hmm.
And he got me into so much music, the soundtrack for the whole series. Oh, he got me into so much music. I'm like, I never heard of Aurora Simone. It's the name of the band. And they're really good. He headlines. You see them playing on stage in the show to put the credits in. It's so good. Okay, so that's my number one. I'm coming all over the show.
See. If David Lynch is anything, he's artistic.
He is good. He's so good. He's so confident in his shit. Anyway, so that is my number one. That is our top 10 TV shows of 2017. Real quick, before we get into all the little pedigree stuff, give us your top 10 to reiterate to everyone. 10 to ones.
Sure. My number 10 is Ultimate Beastmaster.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. My number 9 is The Defiant Ones. My number 8 is Bosch Season 3.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, no. Opposite. Sorry. Bosch Season 3 was number 8. Number 9, and then The Defiant Ones was number 8.
Oh, okay, okay.
My apologies. My number 7 is The Series of Unfortunate Events. My number 6 is Castlevania.
Mm,
my nice. Number 5 is One Piece.
Mm-hmm.
Season whatever.
So 4 cartoons.
So, that's a lot of cartoons, yeah. My number, fuck you. My number 4 is Stranger Things Season 2.
Mm-hmm.
My number 3 is GOT, Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
My number 2 is Rick and Morty.
Mm-hmm.
And my number 1 is My Hero Academia.
Nice. My number 10 is Fargo. Number 9 is Stranger Things 2. Number 8 is American Gods. Number 7, Mindhunter. Number 6, Mr. Robot. Number 5, The Deuce. Number 4, Legion. Number 3, Rick and Morty. Number 2, The Leftovers. And number 1, Twin Peaks.
There's a lack of cartoons on your list.
Yeah, just one. And a surprising lack of Netflix representation. Only 2 of them come from Netflix. Mindhunter and Stranger Things 2.
Interesting.
HBO.
Looks like I might have to change my password since you don't watch Netflix anymore.
Don't do that.
Oh, okay.
Don't do that.
Yeah. How do you live without me?
I never thought...
If I give you all of TV...
I don't know. I mean, you want HBO though, right?
I have HBO now.
Oh, wait, you do?
I have my own account. I mean, I can use your HBO Now account.
Okay.
I have my own HBO
Now account. I thought you required my assistance.
Yeah.
FX has 2 shows on here. Starz has 1.
Yeah.
Fucking USA has 1. Showtime has 1.
Fucking USA. I love that.
But and obviously Adult Swim, whatever.
Sure.
It's Cartoon Network, right?
Yeah.
But it seems like HBO has the leading stuff here because The Leftovers, The Deuce... Oh, just those 2. So just 2 from them. But yeah, those 2 are really big. So yeah. What is your honorable mentions?
My honorable mentions is Mystery Science Theater 3000.
I missed that.
But it's technically like weird if they're movies because you're watching a movie.
Right.
So it's kind of like... It's
just a commentary.
Yeah, yeah. I really enjoyed what I saw. I saw like half of the season. Another one is Star vs. the Forces of Evil. Another cartoon because I watch cartoons. This
sure.
is the year
Don't
cartoons apparently.
It's
a Disney XD show. Go figure. I also have She's Gotta Have It. I sadly didn't get far enough for me to put this on this list, but
gotcha.
I would definitely say it was going to be top 10. There's no way it wouldn't because
I heard
just,
great things.
I just love
things.
A lot of it. And it's a Spike Lee's show on TV on Netflix.
Yeah.
And then the other one I had was top tens, but we already talked about it, so we're good.
Which was it? I don't mention.
Which one do you think?
Legion? No, you only saw 1 episode. Can't be Legion. Is it Mindhunter?
No, I didn't see it.
Fargo?
No, I didn't see it.
American Gods?
Yes.
You saw the whole thing?
No, that's why I didn't
see it. Oh, okay, gotcha. Man, you need to
I saw it. Like the first six or four episodes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You only have the 2 more.
I know.
That's the worst part about the whole
thing. What I told you. This is one of those shows where I was in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Transitioned to a different TV provider. Like a lot.
So, my honorable mention, some of these are like, oh, I can't believe that I make my top 20 because I'm not even counting my 11 to 20 because I already said all that. But some of these I didn't finish either, and that's why I didn't make it.
Yeah.
Like Vietnam. I've only seen the first 2.5 episodes.
I saw 1 episode. So
out of 7 or 8. So, yeah. Like, or 10, I think. So, like,
I can't count 1 episode things.
And they're amazing. It's just long and. They sure. require a lot of attention.
Sure.
I want to sit down and fucking give it.
Right, exactly. You know what? And what's interesting is that I've been looking for something to learn more about Vietnam because I think it's
it's so fucking good. You could tell he's going to have everything.
The reason I say it is because I think it's a show, and it started to derail on us, but I think it's a topic that's kind of taboo here, like in the United States, where it was like, we know we fucked up in Vietnam, but that's all we need to know about it.
And what I know, don't like, want to know why or
like,
how.
What do you mean? Well, that's all we need to know about it. Like, fuck you. Let me know more about it.
And Ken Burns.
I always felt growing up, like World War One, very little. World War Two, tons of shit. Vietnam War, we don't even know what happened, guys. Let's just gloss over that, you know?
Oh, there's like too much to know, like where to start.
Yeah.
It feels like Ken Burns, and he leaves no stone unturned so far.
Yeah,
from what I've seen. So another one is The Keepers, which is a Netflix show about Catholic nuns. One nun was murdered because she was about to uncover supposedly this ring of fucking priests fucking kids and shit. That's fucked up. It's a fucked up show.
Okay,
I mean, if you don't watch it if you're happy, or
oh, what, shit.
Or be really happy to watch it or whatever. Bosch season 3 was I really wanted to. It just I love it. I just a lot of good shows, man. Taboo had its first season.
That was weird. That was a weird show.
It was a weird show. And I have friends like Jason who loves it to death. It probably would have made his top 10 or 1 or 2 or something. And I can't say that for it. It's too... It's not too weird to make it my top. I don't want to say that. It's too... It's a combination of two, like... Like it, all these ideas that it brings up, it doesn't do a great job to hook you about them until the end of the season or something, or until two episodes later after the fact. And I feel like if it tidies up a little
there's
bit,
there's not
more
enough continuity with it,
right? Like I feel that. Like if it tidies up that more in season two, maybe I'll, which I'll be watching. I will be all over that show.
Okay,
Riverdale. Didn't I expect
the show I missed out
it's
on?
A good
and
show.
What's funny is that everybody yeah. I've asked, yeah. they've asked me first, or everyone that's told me they're watching the show.
Yeah.
Like, you're watching it, right? I was like, no, I'm not. And they're like, oh, I thought you would be.
It's
you
a
know,
network
you,
show.
And they're like, you know, it's based on Archie. I was like, oh my fucking! If I have to hear one more fucking person tell me it's based on Archie, like I'm gonna slap somebody.
It's like based on Archie, but like,
but
actually,
not.
You know what? It's if you know, I've heard the creator say this. They base a lot of it on Twin. It's like Twin Peaks via Archie. Yeah. It's Twin Peaksian.
Well, yeah, that's
the thing whole is, based on it, one murder it's and the
like,
whole idea.
Sure, it's yeah. it. The way I see it is like it's like the Archie versus Predator show, the Predator comics,
which I heard about, but
they're standalone shit. Right. This is their own universe, and they decided to go this way instead of that.
You
way.
Just mad that people talk to you about it, but it's a good show regardless.
Yeah. The other problem is it's a network show, and it feels like the fucking. Like those gossip shows or bullshit shows.
I know. That's what I thought too, man. And I gave it 3 episodes and I was hooked. And,
okay, that's good.
You know, so, Castlevania I put on there. American Horror Story Cult, the best season of American Horror Story. Still going to make my top 20.
Sure.
So
maybe I'll finish a season one of these days.
Right. I never, it's my only season I finished.
Oh, wow. Good for you.
American Horror Story. I can never finish them either. Room 104, I liked. I never finished it, but it's an anthology series. It's an anthology series based on one hotel room. They just make a different short film in there. It's an HBO show.
Cool.
Confession Tapes, fucked up. It's on Netflix. It's another series kind of thing where every episode, it's a case about
where my Netflix subscription kicks in, right?
Right. Okay. Yeah, exactly. All the, where the cops get these confessions out of these people and they get in prison, but they were wrong.
Oh.
Like all of them were wrong confessions. Like confessions like, wrongfully
convicted.
Attained, right?
That's fucked up.
It's fucked up. Yeah, it's fucked up as fuck. another Netflix show, Love Season 2, was pretty good.
I did not like Love at all. So.
I know, but Season 2 picks up a lot more. But you're right, it's not for everyone. Yeah. Better Call Saul? We didn't make our list.
Didn't make our list.
It's still a great show, but I think it had its worst season last year. And I know it will pick up again.
Sure.
Not to say that's an excuse, but I wish it could have been, I just wish that some of the stuff that we're trying to go for was streamlined a little better.
Yeah.
I think we had those discussions already.
Yeah.
The Magician, Season 2. Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Not as good as Season 1, though. If I had seen just Season 1, it might have made my top 20.
Yeah, let's just say I fucked up there. But go ahead.
Young Pope.
Oh, that's, don't say it. Alfie.
Yeah.
Okay.
I forgot his name already, though.
Yeah, who cares?
Who cares? Young Pope is great. Okay. It's fucked up. It's awesome. It's Italian, so. Chance. I know you don't know this one. It's in a Hulu original. Chance with...
Hulu. I actually have a Hulu
starring the house guy.
Yeah.
What's his name?
I actually use somebody's Hulu subscription.
Hugh Laurie? Hugh Laurie. Yeah.
Hugh Laurie? Cool. Yeah.
Like, he's the leader in the...
Interesting. Okay,
he's
cool.
Really
I like him. Yeah.
The Santa Clarita Diet, I thought was really
Did
funny.
You watch it?
I saw the whole thing.
How did you?
I binged it. It was really fucking funny. Yeah. I think...
So it's supposed to be like a dark comedy, right?
Yeah, it's fucking dark comedy.
Okay, cool.
And they really go with the blood and guts.
Right,
and Drew Barrymore looks like she's having fun eating people.
Awesome.
See, she's having fun.
That's what I thought. Okay.
It's so good. The amount of jokes, the time jokes was really funny.
Yeah.
A series of unfortunate events for me, and I think that's it. I just said so many. So, yeah, those are TV shows. Disappointment, Ralph? Do you have any of that? Or shows that, you know, like my goodness.
I don't know. I did and I didn't.
Like, I heard Shameless sucked this year, but I don't want you to watch Shameless. So.
No.
You're like, no.
No.
Sherlock was a disappointment for me.
That's what I think we were both agree on that one.
Yeah.
Wasn't that great?
Archer, I didn't think was as great.
Didn't see it.
So the whole thing is based on the 40s or
right, we're in
he's in a coma basically.
Right, exactly.
It was fine, but I want him to wake up already. Like I didn't want any. I wanted one episode maybe, not a whole thing. Yeah. 13 Reasons Why, I find it really infuriating.
Okay, my wife saw that and I saw her watching some of it and I was like, are you watching?
I saw half of the first season.
I was like, you're watching that movie? She's like, yeah. And I was like, okay, I'm walking away from you.
So many people recommended it to me that I managed to watch the first half of it. And I'm like, this show is terrible. I don't give a shit how... If it ends with telling us the meaning of life, I don't want to hear it. This show is awful. I hated it for many reasons that I'm not exactly going to get into. Veep, unfortunately, with the main creator guy, writer who started that awesome show, is out now, and then, you know, essentially it's you could tell that there's a difference. But the acting's still amazing. I still love Veep for all time.
Sure.
But it just doesn't reach that level. It's season 5 or 6, so it makes sense.
Yeah, right.
The Walking Dead is the punching bag of the year, as always. It's So the one good thing about The Walking Dead over the years has always been the action overall and the cliffhangers. You know, there was the cliffhangers. They couldn't even get that right this year. On top of everything else, they don't get right. So they're like doubling down on all their mistakes. It's really amazing. I just watch it to make fun of it all the time. The Defenders was okay.
Didn't see it.
It was just, it was had good moments.
Oh, and didn't that was, one other one come out?
Yeah.
One of the Defenders.
The Asian guy that wasn't Asian?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That came out this year, right?
Fist guy?
Iron Fist.
I never saw that one. I thought it was terrible.
That came out this year, right?
Yeah.
That was a disappointment for me.
I didn't see it. I heard it was terrible.
It was a disappointment.
House of Cards, also bad. But it wasn't bad because it was too close to home. It feels like a more successful, motivated Trump, essentially, and, you know, with the election and all that. So I didn't really put it in there for a whole lot. I didn't even finish it, I should say, for those reasons. Any show that you wish you'd seen, didn't watch?
Yeah, a lot of Netflix ones.
Right. Ozark, never finished Ozark. I saw the first 3 episodes. It was pretty good.
Sure.
Never finished. Snowfall, which is that new FX show about the drugs. The first crack.
That's one
for
sure. I definitely want to watch.
Saw the first 3 episodes of that too. Didn't finish that.
Yeah, I have more of like shit that I started that I kind of wanted to finish, like American Gods and shit, like my honorable mentions. Some of my honorable mentions I wish I would have finished.
Yeah. The Mist. You see The Mist?
No.
I was liking it, but it's not that good looking.
No.
I think I'll just watch it backgroundy. Background watching it.
Yeah.
Are you gonna watch The Handmaid's Tale? Anything like that?
That doesn't entice me.
Doesn't introduce you?
Introduce me. Yeah.
What show are you most excited for next year?
You know what show I kind of want to continue watching is The Runaways.
Oh, and that's another one. I mean, missed opportunities. Yeah. American Crime. I still haven't seen The Animal Kingdom, The Billions, which is on Showtime.
What's it called? Smilf. I definitely want to watch.
Oh yeah, I want to see Smilf now too.
I definitely want to finish White Famous.
And
yeah, like it didn't make honorable mentions. Liked it. I liked the premise of it a lot and everything that's going
I'm
on.
I'm behind here. On the.
And it's funny.
So. I still haven't seen Gomorrah, which is I love the movie so much, but I still haven't seen it.
Sure.
I'm behind The Expanse, Baskets. I'm behind and Vikings. I'm behind The Strain, but The Strain I watch for hokiness. Broad City, I'm behind. Halt and Catch Fire, I've never seen. Preacher, I still haven't seen, which made Marcos, my guest last week.
Number one?
His number like 5 or something, I don't remember. But he made his list. Feud, that one-off show about those old actresses made by the guy.
Oh, yeah.
I missed that one completely.
We did.
There's a new Top of the Lake season. And I love the first Top of the Lake.
I saw some of it. I didn't see the whole thing. My wife saw the whole thing.
Of the new one or of the old one?
Of the old one.
Okay.
My wife saw the Top of the Lake show.
It's definitely adult and it's heavy with themes. And season 2, I heard, is awesome. It's a completely different way to do it and everything. The Good Place, never saw it. A lot of people talked about that this year. Last year, I mean. American Vandal. Didn't see that one. You know,
I don't even know what that is.
And it makes fun of like those docudramas like How to Be a Murderer. But it takes like graffiti as the main crime. It wasn't even murder.
That's funny.
It's supposed to be amazing, but I've never seen it. Yeah. Wet Hot American Summer had another season.
Don't care about that.
I know, but I'm saying I like the other one. I like the movie Revamp or whatever it was. And BoJack Horseman, I still haven't seen at all. Gypsy, I haven't seen. Orange is the New Black, I stopped watching. I heard that the entire season, because I've been keeping up with it over the years.
Sure.
I heard this last season, the one I missed, was entirely takes place all in the riot that the last season was starting with. I'm like, oh God, no. I'm just like, no, not interested. The characters were already starting to fall for me, and with the murder of like one of the best actresses, and now it's in The Handmaid's Tale, is I felt like it was going down anyway, and I was like, okay, that sealed it. I don't have to watch it. And I heard it was awful too, so I'm like, okay, but I don't have to watch it.
Yeah, so my wife watches what the show is based off of, the other show that was taken from like the Australians or something.
Oh, really?
Or yeah, Wentworth. Or British or something.
Oh, is that based on the same? Really?
Because I've
seen that on Netflix.
Came out like in 2005 or something.
Oh, okay.
Or 2010 or something stupid. I don't know.
2000-something.
Yeah, 2000-something. And then, yeah, she watches that. And I was like, is this? And then she watches All the New Black, but she prefers Wentworth. So, whatever.
Okay, well, yeah, right on. I believe that's it, right?
Yeah, man. I'm really bad at TV, so like I don't know what comes out. I only know what's
I'm glad you
in
made it
front
to,
of me.
No, you kept up well.
I kept up okay.
Yeah, you kept up more than well.
Sure.
More than
I okay. watch a lot of reruns of things that are on TV.
I know I'm a fiend. Like, I watched, I think, 47 seasons
it's a lot.
In 2017.
Some of them I didn't finish, like I mentioned. But
47 seasons, yeah.
Yeah, most of them are 10 episodes, but it's a lot. Lot of them, some of them are not.
I don't have time for that.
Well, you know.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I know. I make time.
It's just too much Overwatch to play.
I mean, I most of the time I'm just trying to convince my girlfriend Lexi to watch it with me so I can both hang with her and watch something.
Right.
Essentially, that's what it is.
That is the ideal thing.
Right. Yeah. Okay, so I think that's...
I also watch a lot of sports.
Yeah, you do.
I was going to be an asshole and tell you, like, my number 10. It was, like, the NFL Red Zone channel where it's just sports.
You could have done it. Yeah, I could have. Fun of you.
Yeah, I know.
So...
And it's a channel, so it's weird.
Right. We're just rambling right now, so let's just exit here. You have been listening, thank God,
to another...
movie.
I don't know, something. Podcast.
Yeah, I think so. I think Time Release Radio.
Timely radio.
Another movie podcast. Always and never forget. You can find me at Armin Filmmaker on Twitter, which is Filmmaker with A-R-M-E-N. Ruff?
Yes.
Where can people find you?
A lot of places.
On Twitter.
More mainly in Chicago. You can find... Yeah. And you could find me on Twitter at Gamer Ralph with two R's and an F.
Right. And next week we continue on with our top 10 shows for top January. 10. Top 10 shows in general. We're doing our top 10 discoveries of 2017 before we do our last top 10, which is top 10 films of 2017.
Right, exactly. Because let's be realistic. We don't live in New York. We don't live in LA.
Right.
And we need to see some movies that we don't super get limited release.
We don't get screeners.
Right. So we have to watch those movies that came out like the 31st of December, and it's an Oscar-nominated movie. We're like, what the fuck?
Like, I finally caught up to the Florida Project and I, Tanya, and I'm finally catching up.
Right, exactly. Same here. So I'm just like, what the fuck? It's bullshit, but sure.
Right, so that's how we take extra time. And it's fun.
Yeah, it is.
So that's it. Until then, guys, see you later.
The deuces.
Someone gave me some aspirin.
Yep.
I would like to see a speedrun of those games.
Die Hard?
The Die Hard games.
The Die Hard trilogy games?
Yeah.
I think they've done them before. Someone has to have them.
Yeah. Someone, right, exactly. That's the thing, is that someone has
they've
to.
They've done the Die Hard one, original one, for sure. But I don't know if all three games...
I wanted the car one, because...
That's part three, right? Well, there's no cars in part one, except for the one that gets totaled in the beginning, which is the cop car.
And the limo.
Oh, I guess, yeah.
Argyle's limo.
Argyle.
Yeah.